Young is a tool of the cult of the left. What kind of an ass writes a song called Keep On Rockin' in the Free World and proceeds to become the loathsome antithesis of the song?
Comfortably Numb is uncomfortably dumb, and Neil Young's the poster child for that. I mean, rocking in the free world, but he wants to censor people? Hey, Neil, choose one. You can't do both, you dirtbag.
But it must be evident to all of you. You must all know half a dozen people at least who are no use in this world, who are more trouble than they are worth. I think it would be a good thing to make everybody come before a properly appointed board and say every 5 years or every 7 years, just put him there and say, sir or madam, now will you be kind enough to justify your existence?
I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
The last 30 years told us they would use the fear of a deadly virus to take control and basically bring in permanent martial law. And now they have the big tech in place. Now they have the contact tracing in place. Now they have the excuse to make you all get used to getting permission to leave your house. It's happening.
Before COVID, you say you spent the most sleepless nights worrying about pandemics. After COVID, has that changed? And if it has, what keeps you up now? Because we all need to know.
Yeah, the pandemic, sadly, was fairly predictable, and it won't be the last pandemic. The next one could be far more severe. I mean, this one, it killed millions. It was awful. We got the vaccine. You know, actually, President Trump's leadership was a factor in getting that out quickly, and so I... when I spoke to him, I said, okay, here's some other medical innovations, including a thing called an HIV cure that could be accelerated. So, we should be more prepared both for a pandemic. I'd say that's still number one. You can worry about nuclear war. You can worry about AI.
Plenty
to worry about.
Overall,
I'm an optimist.
We should have free speech, but if you're inciting violence, if you're causing people not to take vaccines, you know, where are those boundaries that even the U.S. Should, you know, have rules? And then if you have rules, you know, what is it? Is there some AI that encodes those rules? Because you have billions of activity, and, you know, if you catch it a day later, the harm is done.
In my medical opinion, these are the most toxic pharmaceutical products that have ever been released on the market. And, of course, most profitable. As we heard from Dr. Julie Panes, Pfizer last year made revenues of over $100 billion. That's just Pfizer. That doesn't include Moderna. That doesn't include BioNTech. Of course, you had AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and so on. This is a multi-hundred billion dollar industry. And it seems that nobody cares how many people get hurt, how many people get injured, how many people die. And to give you an idea for the scale of the vaccine injuries, 10 to 15%, this is straight out of CDC, VSafe data, where people were actually recording their side effects into an app. About 10 million people, they didn't want to release the data. They were forced to release it. About 10 to 15% have had a serious injury. About 1% have been permanently disabled. This is coming out of U.S. insurance data. Edward Dowd has been reporting on this. And about 0.1% have died. These are excess deaths that are unexplainable, and 0.1% may not sound like a lot, but that's 1 in 1,000.
Why did it take numerous legal demands, multiple appeals, 2 lawsuits, in fact, before the CDC finally handed over the VSafe data, which is already de-identified data for the most part that they provided just 2 days ago, 144 million lines of code that they could have provided in a matter of minutes at any point? Now that we have the data, we could see that getting the vaccine caused 25% of people who got the shot within this data set of 10 million people to miss work, to have some serious event.
The final battle is coming up towards the end of next month. Federal court's going to decide whether we get sold to the Bloomberg Group or they let patriots buy InfoWars and we continue on. But regardless, the final run, potentially, of X2 that is so incredible, the purest, best atomic iodine out there, has just come in at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. This could be your last chance to get X2, but regardless, fans love it. It's back in, so you can get it. And for those that haven't tried it, get your X2 now, right now, at InfoWarsStore.com. Every order that comes in will be shipped out regardless. We're not getting shut down for at least a month, so this is your last chance to get X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is one of the most amazing products, if not the most amazing, we've ever had at InfoWars. It's been a fan favorite for 12 years. So stock up now on what could be your last chance to get the legendary X2 at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Friday, February 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We have a lot to talk about today. Two guests to get to. And I want to get to your calls. Lots of videos, of course, as always. A little bit of a slow news day. A little bit, and, you know, usually on Fridays, we like to keep it a little light. We like to go into the weekend with a bubbly attitude. And I woke up this morning and I thought, I wonder if there's anything funny out there today. I wonder if there's anything that we'll be able to laugh at. And thank goodness. Thank goodness there is, because Ye is back, baby. Kanye West is back, and he's posting some absolute insanity. It's very funny. So maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. And it's funny. I actually just went back and watched the show that we did the day after the infamous interview, Kanye West and Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes on InfoWars. Just going back to that time seems like so long ago, a more innocent age, if you will. And if you recall, our takeaway of this was, look, Kanye's not having a mental breakdown. The big takeaway everybody else was saying was, Kanye needs our prayers right now. He's having a mental breakdown. He's really going through some stuff and he needs our help. And it's like, no, he's not. No, he's fine. He's saying what he thinks. He's saying what he believes. It's all fine. And he's doing it again. He's doing it again to an even more insane degree. Should we read some? Should we take a look at what old Ye is up to? He's been just going off for like 4 hours. The latest tweet from his I saw that said, he just said, I'm not reading any comments. Has anyone ever wanted to get it all off my chest? Everything you felt, everything they told you not to think or feel. Can I say the N-word with a soft A? I mean, he says it a lot. It'll be hard for me to read these tweets without saying it. Call me Yadolf Hitler. What's that? Ninja is what I should say. Hitler was so fresh. I'm going to normalize talking about Hitler the way they talk about killing ninjas has been normalized. I got in the shower and thought of like 6 tweets. Let me see if I can remember. Yeah. He's going off. The man is going off. And it's very funny. He's fine. He's fine. It's all fine. But we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep you updated. We'll be monitoring the Ye feed here and give you the latest wires as they come in. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. I will say nothing bad against China. They always showed me love when Americans turned their backs against me because of a red hat or a t-shirt. I get money with China. I love China. God had my mom bring me there when I was 10 for a reason. Sorry, I got a little bit distracted. Sorry, folks, here it is, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 7th of February, 2025. Crews search open waters in Alaska for flight that went missing with 10 on board. A search of Alaskan waters is underway in rough water after a regional airline flight with 10 people on board went missing. According to local and state officials, the Cessna aircraft, operated by Bering Air, was en route Thursday from Unalakleet to Nome, cities in western Alaska separated by the Norton Sound Inlet, according to Alaskan state troopers. The state police agency was notified at 4 p.m. an overdue aircraft had gone missing with 9 passengers and a pilot on board, it said in a dispatch message shared on its website. They're conducting searches. They have not located the aircraft, and they're encouraging local people not to start their own search parties since the weather is so bad. They don't want to have to go out and find the people who are going out and find the aircraft. This makes, I think the 16th plane disaster in something like a week. Obviously, there's the massive and deadly airliner crash into the helicopter at Reagan National Airport. Yesterday, there was a collision on a runway. There have been multiple aircraft who have had to divert landings. And this seems extremely rare to us in America. I'm here to tell you, airplanes go down almost every single day. And this was a shock to me, but there was a time, you can go to Wikipedia and you can see events, like all the big events for a year. You'll have, you know, just the biggest news stories. And there was one point last year when all these planes were running into each other, there were all these near disasters. And I thought, are we just noticing this for the first time, or is this type of stuff happen all the time and we just aren't paying attention? And now that people are paying attention, it looks like the rate is increasing early. It's just that we're noticing it more. So I went in to look at like a list of air travel disasters, and there are tons. There are tons. They happen almost every day. Planes going down, going off the runways, crashing into the water. It happens a lot. It happens in third world countries. That's why we don't hear about it, and that's why it happens. There are more plane crashes in the Congo than anywhere else in the world combined. It's crazy. It's crazy. So as we move forward, and, you know, Trump's doing what he can to slow the descent, but this is just what's going to be normalized now. We've normalized everything. Now it's time to normalize not knowing if you're going to live every time you get into a plane, because that's what happens when you take on a third world mindset. You become third world. When you bring in the third world, you become the third world. And all the things that you take for granted that as Americans we've grown up just assuming is absolutely true, things like we have a system of air travel that's so solid, so well maintained, it's a system so efficient and well regulated, that you basically, it's just routine. You just get on the plane, you fly where you're going, you never really think twice about it unless you have some sort of irrational fear. But that's a privilege. That's something that only comes about after like a couple thousand years of civilizational advance steadily in the same direction. Now we're going in the other direction. Now we're sliding backwards in the civilizational scale. And as that happens, all of these little things that you take for granted, like being able to fly in an airplane or, you know, not having your house broken into, going to the hospital and not, you know, getting some disgusting infection because nothing is being cleaned. Like all of this stuff that you would think would be routine and normal. Yeah, we can lose all of that real quick. Like that could go away in a matter of a year if you just, you know, dissolve your civilizational advancements on purpose for the sake of diversity. So it's a tragedy. It's always going to be a tragedy when a plane goes down. It's just going to happen a lot more as America willingly gives up the civilizational evolution that we fought so hard for so long. So just, I guess, get used to it. I guess you should just get used to all this. Meanwhile, USAID could slash staff to hundreds after placing most on leave. America's Foreign Aid Agency could see its staff slash from about 10,000 to fewer than 300 globally as the Trump administration makes major cuts to government spending. All but a handful of essential staff are already set to be placed on administrative leave at midnight on Friday, including thousands based abroad. An online notice says a plan is being prepared to return travel for return travel and the termination of non-essential contractors. One union representing employees, which is involved in legal challenges to the plan, told the BBC U.S. partner CBS News that just 294 staff have been deemed essential. Well, you should appreciate that you get that. You should also appreciate you're not being sent to jail for the wholesale theft of billions of taxpayer dollars to be fittered out to your friends and used exclusively to degrade the safety and well-being of people around the world. So be happy that you're just being fired. Meanwhile, U.S. judge blocks Trump buyout program as 60,000 sign up to quit. A U.S. judge on Thursday temporarily blocked the Trump administration's proposed buyouts for federal workers until at least Monday, giving an initial win to labor unions that sued to stop it. Even as the program was stayed, more than 60,000 federal employees have already accepted the buyout offer, the White House told Reuters. A ruling by U.S. District Judge George O'Toole in Boston pushes back a midnight deadline set by the Trump administration, which is pressuring federal workers to leave their jobs at an unprecedented drive to overhaul the federal government. O'Toole could opt to delay the buyout further or block it on a more permanent basis when he next considers the legal challenge by unions at a hearing on Monday. The White House said employees could submit plans to leave through 11:59 p.m. Eastern time Monday. I don't understand how you can. It was a voluntary buyout. It's a voluntary buyout. So he's working for the unions. The unions are supposed to serve the employees. The employees took the buyout voluntarily. What is the issue here? I genuinely don't understand. Trump is saying, I'll pay you through September if you want to resign. 60,000 people said, yeah, I'll take that deal. Sounds good. And now a judge is coming in on behalf of the union saying, you can't quit. You can't get a buyout. You can't be paid to resign. What? Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. Trump offered them something. They accepted. And now a judge has come in to say, no, you can't do that. That doesn't make any sense to me on behalf of the unions. So the unions are now forcing their employees to work when they would rather quit. Sounds like slavery to me. But hey, what do I know? Meanwhile, another one. It happens again. Plane crashes into bus during emergency landing. Two people were killed and at least six injured when a plane collided with a bus on a busy street in Brazil on Friday. The fatal crash occurred around 7:20 a.m. in Barra Funda, a district on the west side of Sao Paulo. A Beechcraft King Air F-90 bound for Porto Alegre lost communications with the control tower shortly after takeoff. The pilot attempted an emergency landing on Avenida Marquez, but struck a public transit bus and exploded. Footage captured by witnesses and surveillance cameras has been circulating on social media, including a video apparently showing the aircraft passing very close to high-rise buildings moments before impact. Yeah, tragic, but again, it's like, what do you expect? I mean, what do you expect to happen? You know, just to look at the numbers, like one of the reasons why you don't want to mess with things like pilots and doctors, you don't want to like bring diversity into these industries is because, well, they're extremely high level operations. Like you can't make even the slightest shortcut in funding or staffing or employing people in these things. And if you get into the actual science of it, the actual like IQ levels necessary for doing some of this stuff, it's a little uncomfortable to talk about. Let's just say that. Gets a little uncomfortable to talk about. But we're trying to trust the science here. We'll get into that later. Finally, we have this. Elon Musk's top Doge staffer, Marco Ilez, quits over racist social media posts. One of Elon Musk's trusted Doge staffers has resigned from his position after his links to racist social media posts promoting eugenics was unearthed. Uh-oh. Eugenics? Oh, that's a word I'm primed to think is bad. I wonder what it means. I know it's bad. I know we're supposed to hate eugenics, but does anybody know the definition of it? I wonder how he used it. Marco Olez is one of two employees at the Department of Government Efficiency granted access to the $5 trillion Treasury payment following an 11th-hour court hearing on Thursday. But on Thursday afternoon, the 25-year-old trusted Musk ally had resigned after the Wall Street Journal probed his links to since-deleted social media accounts. According to the publication, the ex-account, quote, advocated repealing the Civil Rights Act, good, based, should happen, and backed, quote, a eugenic immigration policy. Well, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, crazy. A eugenic immigration policy. Yes, we should have a eugenic immigration policy. I also believe that. So you hear eugenics and you think of the most extreme version of eugenics, which is evil, which is like, you know, you grade people on how much they contribute to society and then, you know, you sterilize the stupid people. That's like a form of social engineering labeled eugenics. The word eugenic just means like selective. It doesn't even mean selective breeding. It just means like to make healthier. Dysgenic would be the opposite of that. And you can apply these words to a lot of stuff accurately that has nothing to do with race or hatred or anything like that. A eugenic immigration program is simply saying choose immigrants that are going to improve your society, not degrade it. That's all it means. We should have a eugenic immigration. Everybody should have a eugenic immigration program. Why would you have immigration if it's not eugenic? You want dysgenic immigration? That's what we have now. Where you bring in a bunch of, you know, criminals from Colombia. You let Venezuela empty out their jails of the most violent morons you can imagine and send them to America. That's a dysgenic program. A eugenic program would be all the engineers and doctors from Venezuela coming to this country. There again. So he stepped down now. He's been fired. By this, and again, we can get into it more later. But they literally don't even know the definition of these words. He was racist before it was cool. That's funny. Oh my God, he was funny. Fire him immediately. We can't have a funny person working at Doge. That's impossible. This is very troubling me. I thought we were over this. I thought we were past this. Is this really what we're doing now? Now, there's a lot of stuff to get into with this. For one thing, the author that wrote this article that doxed this kid doing this stuff got her start at USAID. This is a USAID hatchet man, I guess, getting access to private information about a kid going into his old deleted social medias to find jokes that he made when he was a teenager. Public information? What do you mean?
Well, you said it was private information. If you post it on social media, it's public information.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, his name was private. If you don't want people looking at this, I don't know. I don't think it's appropriate.
She went back through his social media stuff. Yeah, it sucks. Like, well, you know, but he posted it, and you know. It sucks that he got burned over it, you know what I mean? Because, again, like...
No, Matt, stop right now, stop. You're pissing me off. No, I don't care. No, he was a teenager. He posted funny jokes online under a pseudonym. He took it. No, we're not doing any... Well, but I think... No, we're not doing any of that. No, they don't get to go find some word that a guy used when he was a teenager and say, therefore, we're going to fire him and publish all of his private information and fire him from his important job in the U.S. government. We're not giving them any leeway. We're not bending to them in any. We're not justifying this in any way whatsoever. This is bad. It's wrong. It's stupid. And there's lots of bad, wrong, stupid things about it. For one, have you seen the black people that are in our government these days? Have you listened to them recently? We have a video, in fact, I'd like to go to now, of a sitting congresswoman not just using the word eugenics by its own definition, but actually advocating for genocide in America. So are you know, what are we doing about this? Clip number six. Here's Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley going on a racist rant on the floor of Congress. But some kid in you know, when he was 18 said, yeah, I'm a racist, lol. Really, we're going to, well, he shouldn't have made that cut. No, no, we don't care anymore. That's this is the point. Is this going to stop them? Do you, oh, now it's over, right? Now they were just very concerned that, you know, maybe there was a racist on Doge, and that was just, you know, they're very concerned about that. But now that he's gone, they're like, oh, they love Doge, right? It's not that they're going to systematically go through every single person in Doge, search everything they've ever posted, find every picture ever taken of them, find everybody they've ever been friends with, and try to get them to say something about them to try to destroy them, right? It's not that by letting this happen, you're now feeding into the feedback loop that we've all been through over 10 years, where they destroy people over absolute bullshit and never pay the price for it. No, we're not justifying this. We're not giving any leeway about this. I don't care what he said, and I'm shocked that Elon Musk would allow this guy to resign over old tweets when you have scumbag, actually genocidal racists like this in public speaking out and actually advocating literal genocide. Let's go to Ayanna Pressley now.
Like Iowa. Governor Reynolds, let's learn more about the state. Do you know what percentage of Iowans are white and what percentage are black?
I don't know the exact percentages, no. We're by far a larger percentage of white population.
That's correct. Iowa is 90% white and only 4.5% black.
Oh, my God.
So that is drastically different from the national population. So when Republicans suggest Iowa should be a national model, they're advocating for a government that doesn't reflect our country. So let's talk about what this model.
Yeah, Iowa's too white. It's too white. 90%, that's too many white people. Kind of like New Hampshire, too many white people. Maine, it's too many white people. That's why they're, you know, flooding them with non-white people, because they actually are participating in literal, by the definition, according to the UN guidelines, literal genocide. But, you know, he said we should have an immigration policy that actually builds up our country rather than degrades it. So I guess he gets fired now. Again, it's not about what he said. It's not about any of that. It's about they have a tactic that they play over and over and over again, and I thought we were done with it. I thought we were over this. But they realize they're on a boat, you know, with sharks circling the water, and they think that by pouring a bucket of blood in, maybe that'll keep the sharks busy and they won't go into a frenzy. They are literally feeding the frenzy. That's only just going to start up. And Doge is doing, like, important, good work, and now it's going to be completely derailed because some USAID-funded hatchet man has been able to resurrect old deleted social media posts and find inappropriate jokes a teenager made 10 years ago. No, we're done. And by the way, we should repeal the Civil Rights Act. It should absolutely be repealed. It is possibly the singular most, you know, the thing most responsible for, like, every problem in America. You want to know why Black America needs so much help right now? It's because of the Civil Rights Act. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side. I actually found a very interesting content creator that has made this his life's work. A black guy going back and looking at the 1960s and seeing how the Civil Rights Act was a thinly veiled act of communist infiltration to destroy the black population in America so it could be weaponized against capitalism. We'll show you that on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even HOTEZ has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the
globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at the alexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C plus. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at the alexjonesstore.com.
A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at the alexjonesstore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections, masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around. This stuff's about to get really, really nasty. Infowars.com.
Boy, Michael Bloomberg is so upset that it came out that his gun control group are the ones behind the Onion and the lawsuits and all of it, trying to shut down InfoWars. And remember back in November, they said they owned it, tried to kick us out of the building. The judge overrode it. It wasn't true. It was a hoax. But a lot of people still think they own InfoWars or InfoWarsStore.com. And so it's really hurt sales by over 70%. So if we don't get funds in at InfoWars Store, we will shut down. Now, even if they're successful and we're beating them right now, it'll take a month and a half or so for that to happen. So right now, in February, you are able to get all these products delivered to you very, very quickly. All the fan favorites, all the classics, X2, Vitamineral Fusion, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Brain Force Ultra, an incredible fast-acting nootropic with no letdown. Vaso Beat, so good for your heart, your whole cardiovascular system. It's all available right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Not owned by Bloomberg or The Onion.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal, Infowars.com, band.video. We got a lot of news to get to. I'm going to go to a video now. I just put it in, guys. The civil rights movement was a theatrical scene that people fell for. We're going to talk about the civil rights movement. Apparently saying the Civil Rights Act should be repealed is, it's worthy to get you fired from DOGE. When in reality, what do you think DEI is? What do you think affirmative action is? I mean, all of these come from the civil rights movement. What do you think destroyed the black community in America? Do you think it was slavery? You think slavery caused it? Because 100 years after slavery ended, the black community was doing better than the white community in just about every metric you could measure. in terms of, you know, family happiness, family unity. They didn't have a plague of fatherless children like they do now. They were actually doing pretty well. It was actually miraculous, remarkable. 100 years going from less than zero, right, being a slave, being barred from even learning how to read, to being on essentially on parity with your white neighbors in 100 years. An incredible advancement for the black community in America, only to be utterly and completely derailed just at the moment that it really achieved equality, only to be plunged into the government dependency that has destroyed the black community ever since. So yes, we should repeal the Civil Rights Act, and we should learn the lessons from the past that when the government says, "I'm here to help," what they're bringing is a flamethrower to burn your entire society to the ground. Let's go to this video. This is from a user named, I'll get his exact name in a second, Chad O something. I'll show it to you at the end of the clip, but he's got a whole documentary coming out and a lot of great clips about how the civil rights movement, so-called, was totally hijacked by literal communists and used to destroy America from the inside out to facilitate the Soviet takeover. Let's watch.
The communists were masters at covertly creating disasters in order to cause discontent. They did this, for example, by bombing their own houses and bombing black churches and then crying white supremacy. Carl Braden, for example, was convicted for doing such a thing where he bought a house for a black party member in a predominantly white neighborhood, then fanning the flames by drawing attention to the fact that a Negro just moved into a white Kentucky neighborhood.
They arrested Carl Braden for bombing his own house and charged him with sedition, and he spent years in jail.
He and his wife, of course, would go on to be relatively close to Martin Luther King and be heavily involved in the civil rights movement, which ironically was constantly being victimized by church bombings. Although the Soviet directive to demoralize blacks was effective in many ways, it didn't completely solidify blacks to the ranks of the Communist Party. Black Wall Street was built back relatively quickly after the race riot, and so too were many of the other black communities where these riots took place. There were two reasons for this that the communists would come to understand by the 1930s. The first is that you have to remember that Booker T. Washington only died the decade before many of these race riots took place. And so the entrepreneurial spirit was still alive and well in many of the black communities. The second was that they were empowered by their unshakable faith in God, which the communists discovered was a hurdle that they, the communists, couldn't jump simply by being dismissive of religion as an opiate of the people. As a result of this, they set their sights on the church to subvert it for their own goals. And so begins the story of Martin Luther King Jr.
It's not only... Why is the Son of God got to be born immaculately? Maybe what we did with Jesus was not supposed to happen. No, at all. No.
Yeah.
We took that cat over and made him ours. It has nothing whatever to do with the white Jesus in Montgomery, Alabama, that white church. We did something else with him. We made him ours. Something in us knew he was always really a nigger.
The MLK Project, this is from Chad O. Jackson on X. Chad O. Jackson on X. And he basically breaks down the entire civil rights movement, how it was all hijacked from the very beginning to make black people think they needed help. They weren't going to make it without the help of the friendly communist down the road, when in reality they actively destroyed everything they'd built up and set them on the path for failure for the next 50 years. So, yeah, repeal the Civil Rights Act. I'm for it. I'm absolutely for it. So should everybody. Chad O. Jackson has lots of great stuff. But apparently not falling for the lie, for the myth of the, you know, civil rights movement, which, again, was a perfectly – they had perfectly valid complaints, but they were hijacked. and they were manipulated, and they were, well, just listen to what LBJ wanted. Listen to what LBJ said his impetus was for signing the Civil Rights Act. He wanted the blanks voting Democrat for 100 years. And boy, he got it. It's just, you know, they had to destroy the family structure and the faith and the you know, entire community and culture as a whole. But they do vote Democrat, so success, I guess. I guess that's success. And again, it's not even it's not about what this Doge staffer said, and it's not about the statements he made, whether he's even serious or not. I mean, one of them, you know, it's like you look at it, and it's things like the account also weighed in on the Israel-Palestine crisis with a post that read, "I would not mind at all if Gaza and Israel were both wiped off the face of the earth." Well, I mean, that you can't be saying stuff like that, right? I mean, I see people say stuff like that literally every single day. And actually, now that I think about it, we are actually paying for Israel to literally wipe Gaza off of the earth. Like, I'm pretty sure Trump's latest proposal was, hey, what if we wipe Gaza off the face of the earth? So, I don't know. Are we mad that this guy's like, hey, I don't care about this. This crisis has caused so much trouble, so much problems. It's dividing Americans. We're spending billions of dollars. Like, I just don't want either one of them around anymore. I don't care. And they're just like, oh, my God, how dare you? You're genocidal. And then it's like the actual official stance being like, yes, it's Israel's stated position that we will wipe Gaza off the earth. It's like, okay, so what's the big deal? What's the big deal? If you're actually getting, like, I'm not threatened by some teenager saying, I wish Israel and Gaza were both wiped off the face of the earth. That's like, okay, it's somebody venting, it's somebody just spouting off on social media. A lot more concerning to me is the actual legitimate military policy to carry out the deletion of one of these countries. That's I'm not so in for, but we fund it to the tune of billions of dollars. So if you're really so worried, why don't you actually take care of the people with the ability to do the thing that you're describing, wipe a place off the face of the earth? Okay. Like it literally has, Gaza has been, for all intents and purposes, wiped off the face of the earth. It is entirely rubble. 60%+ of buildings in Gaza have been destroyed completely. So that's probably not the part of the statement that they were concerned about, I guess. But again, it's not even about what the guy said. It's about, I thought we were over this. I thought we were done with this. We're not firing people over edgy statements they made 10 years ago on Twitter anymore. That's not what we do. We've got people actually in Congress giving speeches, setting military policy that actually believe the most heinous, vicious, racist, bigoted, discriminatory things the world has ever seen. Let's focus on the real things rather than destroying people's lives. Because, I mean, and it's just, you just know. They're just moving on to the next one. They're just going to go after the next kid. And everybody's got something. Everybody's got something you could point to create a crisis over, to get them fired, to fabricate a scandal. So they'll just systematically go through and destroy anybody trying to stand up against them, and you're just going to let them do that by going along with it. Absurd. It's absurd, and it's dangerous, and I thought we were over this. I really did.
I wish Musk would stand up for the guy, though.
That's what I don't understand. It's like Musk's whole thing. He pays for other people who get fired over tweets to sue their company and try to get their job back, and then he fires somebody over their old tweets. Why? Again, it's like, who is more insulted to by some kid just being like, I wish they both just get blown off the face of the earth. Like, who cares? When we have people in our government just being like, there's too many white people in New Hampshire, so we're going to send 100,000 Somalis there. Like, okay, you're actively, actually participating in literal genocide. But you're mad somebody made a joke about it as a teenager. Okay. Okay. Now, speaking of the Gaza suggestion, people still sort of coming to terms with it. And again, it's just, it's amazing. Trump just does things that not only people don't expect it, like even when it happens, it takes like days for people to even absorb what exactly it is. At this point, like when I first heard, like, yeah, we're going to take over Gaza, it's like, what the hell, dude? Americans are going to die, and this is a, and you think about it more, and it's just like, maybe this is the right thing to do, actually. Maybe this is what should happen. And it's about just differing worldviews and trying to understand how Trump is interpreting things versus how the people on the ground are interpreting things. And when you see it through these different perspectives, even though the perspectives themselves clash, it sort of makes sense where he's coming from, where people like Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump are looking at Gaza and going, there's no future here. Don't you want a better world for your children? Like, if it was them, they'd be like, I'm not hanging out in this rubble-strewn, hellish landscape where my kids are just destined to die in a senseless war that's been going on for decades. I want to build something for my kids. I want my kids to grow up in a... And like that, so that's their mindset. And they're sort of projecting that onto the Palestinians, thinking like, we'll do what's right for them. We'll rebuild it. We'll move them away so they're not in danger anymore. Their kids can have a nice life. And it's like, no, you don't understand. The Palestinians are like, they're happy to die there. Like, it's fulfilling to die there. It's an insult to think that they would just walk away. It doesn't matter if it's strewn with rubble. They'll sleep outside. Like, it's cool. It's fine. It's their homeland. They're not going anywhere. So I think Trump is just getting bad information from his advisors. I think, and you can tell this because you can just go on to somewhere like X Spaces and listen to what the Israelis there are saying. They're just like, it's fine. You know, no Americans are going to die. It's, you know, even if there's boots on the ground, like, they'll be all right. And the Palestinians will be happy to move away, and it'll be better for them at the end of the day. You go, okay, so what I'm hearing on this X Spaces or wherever you are listening to this, this is what's being told to Trump. Trump's got advisors in his ears going, yeah, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We can send troops over there. We can rebuild. We'll make billions of dollars. And that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, is the billions of dollars. And it seems like, in a word, this was just a power play against Israel by Trump. Because if you could build resorts on Gaza, if you could turn Gaza into a, you know, vacation spot with beach villas and resorts, that's billions upon billions of dollars in revenue every single year. And Trump just said he's going to take that away. Trump just said, yeah, that's ours now. Israel's not going to take that. We spent the money for the weapons for you to get it. It's ours now. Actually, that's going to be ours.
Well, can I ask how you kind of reconcile this with Netanyahu's 2035 plan for Gaza?
Well, I don't think his 2035 plan for Gaza was to have Israel take it, right?
Exactly. It's been in the works, you know, since last year when it was revealed.
So, right? but if it belongs to America, how, you know, how's that going to work? It's going to be American GDP going up, not Israeli. So
what I'm getting at is that there was always a plan, right, to destroy Gaza.
Yes.
Right. There was never a plan to resettle the Palestinians there. The plan was always to demolish it and create a smart city. And fundamentally, yes. You know what I mean? It's you know, Trump said that it's going to be people of the world and other people that are going to live there. I just don't see it being an American settlement.
Well, that would be the case. I mean, he said America is going to take it over, and, you know, we could. And in that case, it'd be American companies rebuilding and American GDP going up, American workers, you know, being sent there to rebuild it. Again, I don't think it's feasible because
I also can't see that being the actual truth either. If American workers aren't being put to work in America, if we're importing illegal workers to, you know, immigrants to work in America, you think American workers are going to be sent to Israel?
There's a lot of work. I mean, yeah, we build stuff all over the Middle East all the time. We built like a $1 billion CIA base in Lebanon. We've got infrastructure all over Syria and Iraq. I mean, there are tens of thousands of Americans working in Saudi Arabia and UAE right now for the oil companies. So it's definitely possible. But again, this is just the businessman's perspective of, oh, there's this thing that's going to generate billions of dollars every single year. And you think you're going to use our money to get it and then you're going to reap all the benefits? No, we're going to reap all the benefits. And even if it's, you know, dual citizens, you know, Israeli Americans who are the ones running the company, if they're American companies, then America is going to benefit from it. It's going to make our GDP go up. It's going to, you know, funnel money back into our economy. Unveils regional plan to build a massive tree freight zone with rail service to Nome. Again, I'm just telling you, what the perspective probably of Trump is. And he's also probably being told that Hamas has been destroyed. Like I don't think we have more information than Trump. Obviously, Trump is the president and gets all the information that he could possibly want and gets the actual, you know, on the ground, up to date reports on whatever's going on. So I don't think we have more information than him. But I think how the information is being presented, who's presenting it, in what fashion, what they're downplaying, what they're playing up. Again, you can see it if you listen to people who are in favor of, like, incorporating Gaza into Israel. If you just listen to these people online, you just go, okay, this is what's being told to Trump. This is what's, you know, in his ear. Hamas is destroyed. You know, somebody's going to take it over. It's going to be Israel. And Trump's just like, no, it's going to be us. We're going to do it. I really think that what happened was a power play against Israel in a lot of ways. And again, the speculation is that Netanyahu was totally blindsided by this. I think that's true. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's the art of the deal. It's negotiation tactics. And it's actually already worked. Egypt calls for Gaza reconstruction, quote, without Palestinians leaving. Egypt called on Wednesday for the swift reconstruction of Gaza and said Palestinians should not have to leave the territory, where he said the Palestinian Authority should assume its duties. Former Minister Abdelati's call came during pre-scheduled talks with Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Mustafa in Cairo, hours after the shock proposal from Donald Trump in the United States take over the Gaza Strip and settle its people in other countries. He called for Palestinians to be moved from Gaza to Egypt and Jordan, both of whom have flatly rejected the idea and are now talking about combining forces to help rebuild Gaza themselves, Egypt and Jordan, basically bringing them to the table and getting them to, you know, contribute and help out in the rebuilding of Gaza in a way that they weren't willing to do before. Abdelati on Wednesday said Egypt believed in, quote, the importance of empowering the Palestinian Authority politically and economically and assuming its duties in the Gaza Strips as part of the occupied Palestinian territories. Again, I really do think it's just it's Trump operating in the Western worldview and applying that to Palestinians, but you forget, We're all forgetting a major key component in this, and that is that if they're able to move the Palestinians out and wipe out Gaza and actually destroy Hamas, remember, Hamas lost something like 8,000 fighters, recruited 8,000 fighters. The number is malleable, somewhere between 8 and 17,000 fighters killed during the fighting, Hamas fighters. Whatever the number is, it's been replenished. Hamas is as strong as it was when the war in Gaza started. So if they're able to move Palestinians out of Gaza, if they're able to take over Gaza, then the threat from the Palestinians is diminished and doesn't exist anymore. Then they're destroying Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam, which would not be good, at all. And that is a key component of this. The Palestinians and the resistance movement in Gaza is like the thing putting pressure on Israel to not destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, build the third temple, and do the whole red calf thing. So if the Palestinians get removed and that threat doesn't exist anymore, then that's what they're going to do. And that's the mindset of the Palestinians, is like, okay, even if we have to die, even if we have to live in rubble, even if we have to be in misery, that's just what we have to do, because otherwise they're going to tear down the Al-Aqsa Mosque and build the third temple. And religiously, that's not something that can be allowed. Again, I'm just giving you their perspectives. I'm trying to put myself into their place and see why you would make the decisions that they're making. And this is what I'm coming away with. There are already about 100,000 Palestinians in Egypt who say they do not know how or when they'll be able to return. During the war in Gaza, the border was closed, mostly sealed, and the vast majority of the 2.3 million residents were made homeless and forced into temporary shelters within the territory. And one thing we haven't discussed is that when Trump gave his speech, he referenced 1.7 million Palestinians, which would mean 500,000 Palestinians died. Because at the beginning of this conflict, when they could still actually take a population count, it was 2.3 million. Now they say there's 1.7 million. That's 500,000 deaths in a single year. An absolute horror show. A horrific number. But apparently, Egypt and Jordan have both said they will not participate in the plan to clear out the territory and are now calling for an implementation of a two-state solution. And we may actually, you know, see this take place. And again, you know, think about during his confirmation hearing, Pete Hegseth reference the quote attributed to Einstein, right? Doing the same thing over and over is insanity. That's their mindset, and they're looking at the Palestinians and going, you've lost. You've lost. You keep trying to fight. You keep getting just blasted to smithereens. It's over. It's time to move forward in a different way, because in the Western mindset, that makes sense. It's like, well, we've lost. We'll surrender, and we'll try to build a better life for our kids. That's not the mindset of the Palestinians, though, and that's not a convincing argument to them. So it's not going to happen. So it's a distinct confusion of communication, confusion of intention, confusion of general mindset, I think, that has left us here. But it is good news that Egypt and Jordan are now talking about working extra hard to get Gaza rebuilt and the Palestinians remaining there, which may have been the you know, purpose of the suggestion in the first place, to go, look, either you guys figure something out or America is going to solve the problem. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants that, not even Americans. So we'll get more into just general politics on the other side. So we have a lot of news in that regard. Some good news, actually. But some bad news, as always, as well. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is where you can go to get some of the most incredible supplements on offer online today, anywhere. The Irish sea moss, of course, incredibly powerful. The capsules, even more powerful than the gummies, even though the gummies are one of the best sellers available right now. The capsules are pack a much greater punch. The ultimate sea moss bladder rack and burdock root capsules, using all natural ingredients to maximize your health. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com for 40% off ultimate sea moss capsules. And remember to sign up for the VIP club. When you sign up for the VIP club, you get $40 in store credit every single month, and you get all sorts of bonuses and extra benefits from it. And it's funny, because I was talking to somebody, and he was like, yeah, I didn't want to sign up to the VIP club because I want to contribute as much as possible. And it's funny, because it's like, VIP is almost, it's almost too good of a deal. Our diehard fans are like, wait, I pay $30 and I get $40 in store credit? I'm stealing $10 from you. I'd rather just buy $40 worth of product. It's like, it's fine. It's fine. This is all set up in a very sophisticated fashion. Just go now, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Take advantage. Enjoy the benefits. Don't worry about it.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life, while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the American Journal. Second hour is on for this Friday broadcast. Of course, the big talk today continues to be the downsizing of the American government, the ongoing revelations about what exactly our billions of dollars are being spent on, and how strangely everything is very scientifically engineered to destroy us. We'll go now to clip number 13. This video was posted. Why USAID is a dumpster fire in under 3 minutes. Let's watch.
So if USAID funded EcoHealth Alliance to do gain-of-function work in Wuhan with Xi Jinping and Ralph Baric, they also funded Metabiota, which was a pandemic forecasting company by Nathan Wolf that was 14% purchased by Hunter Biden, who at the time was sitting on the board for Burisma, who they signed a memorandum of understanding in 2014 when he was working there, with USAID, multi-million-dollar contract with the Energy Department there, because, you know, when it's Hunter, right? So USAID funds Burisma, USAID funds EcoHealth Alliance and Wuhan Institute of Virology and Metabiota. That's all somehow connected to the Biden's Ukraine and diseases. And then you're going to, USAID is going to also fund Ralph Baric, the guy who created the gain-of-function work that you guys have known he's been capable of doing since 2006 for the biosynthetic paper that you had him write, where he's invented the no-CM sites. Okay. And then on top of that, USAID is also going to fund a whole bunch of these NGOs at the border to allow child trafficking, to allow disruption in our country. USAID is going to go even further than that and fund the PREVENT program, which is now messing with mosquitoes in Peru, putting our troops that are down there in danger. Yeah, we have troops down there. It's weird. But all that gets to happen. The money was what you're always supposed to follow. The money wasn't NIH, but they approved of the grants. They approved of the research. But USAID was the cheddar that all the rats came and devoured. And that's why you're broke. That's why gas is high. That's why everything's high. That's why life sucks right now. USAID, John Ometz, head of USAID, 10 years, VP for EcoHealth Alliance. Also on Global Vibrant Project with George Fugao, who was one of the players at Event 201, just like Avril Haines, who inserted herself into this entire mess just for the CIA to come out on top, making billions off the vaccine from a disease that they paid for just to get intelligence on the ground from people like Michael Callahan, so we can see what's going on inside of Wuhan and Superology and make sure we're on the up and up. Because we are afraid, according to Chris Darby from CIA, said our biggest threat right now to the intelligence is bio data. Bio. Like Beijing Genomic Institute. Is that why you work with Eddie Rubin from the Genomic Institute here? Is that what's really going on? Is that why it's mRNA?
Again, you just pull one of these threads and what starts unraveling, it just goes on and on. Again, it's not just that we're spending the money, it's what we're spending it on. The USAID spent $159 million of our tax money to build 106 climate-resilient schools in Pakistan. You want to see what they look like? Clip number 11. Here's one of the 106 climate-resilient schools that we spent $159 million building in the country of Pakistan. Let's take a look.
Government
oh, look,
school.
Here's one of the government primary school, U.S.-funded school, that is. School. This school was built after international assistance to the Sindhi government. Look at the situation of this school. For our radio listeners, it is a collapsing mud brick building that looks like it was abandoned 20 years ago. It's very close to Karachi. This is what we spent millions of dollars on. Here it is. It's dusty. It's unused. It's crap. It's all crap. This is what they spent millions of our dollars on. In other words, they didn't spend it on anything. In other words, it was stolen. In other words, they said, yeah, we'll build a school. They threw $100, threw up a hut, and took the rest.
The final battle is coming up towards the end of next month. Federal courts going to decide whether we get sold to the Bloomberg Group or they let patriots buy InfoWars and we continue on. But regardless, the final run, potentially, of X2 that is so incredible, the purest, best atomic iodine out there, has just come in at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. This could be your last chance to get X2, but regardless, fans love it. It's back in, so you can get it. And for those that haven't tried it, get your X2 now, right now, at InfoWarsStore.com. Every order that comes in will be shipped out regardless. We're not getting shut down for at least a month, so this is your last chance to get X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is one of the most amazing products, if not the most amazing, we've ever had at InfoWars. It's been a fan favorite for 12 years. So stock up now on what could be your last chance to get the legendary X2 at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're going to go to another clip now, clip number 4. Talking about where our money goes. You know, one way I like to visualize what we're talking about when we're talking about the size, you know, the size of the money that we're talking about, is visualize it as the schools that we could build. You know, we show these videos of these incredible schools built out in the Midwest, like 4,000 students, and they've got the AV, I mean, just top of the line everything, audio visual studios, auditoriums, I mean, just like the most advanced, you know, gym equipment. I mean, just everything top of the line, brand new, and costs about $50 million. $50 million. So when you hear billions of dollars being thrown around like it's nothing, you have to understand what a monumental amount of money this is. Because it's just, you just hear things. A clip we're about to go to, it's called Biden paid $5 billion to unnamed foreign sources, and no one knows where it went. $5 billion. That's the amount of money that we could use to, like, you could get to Mars with that amount of money. You could create entire countries. It's unbelievable the amount of money that just goes missing out of the government. And like that really is the big takeaway out of all of this, is the trillions of dollars just robbed from us completely. And nobody even knows where it went. They can't even justify, well, we had to spend it because we were trying to solve AIDS in South Africa. No, it's just gone. It just disappears. Let's go now to clip number 4. Here's a report from Fox News.
The government's been robbing us blind. We've been writing checks, $6 million for tourism in Egypt. Like, Egypt needs help with that. They have the pyramids. We should be spending money on cleaning up California so that tourists can vacation in California. $2 million to help the BBC value the diversity of Libyan society. We're bribing the BBC to cover Libya better? Why? $1 million for a gay group in Armenia. There it is. We paid $20 million for Iraqi Sesame Street. You paid for Bert and Ernie in Baghdad. Weren't we just bombing these people? Now we're paying for their Muppet shows? We're sick. There is something sick with us. You also paid for an Irish DEI musical.
On behalf of Ambassador Cronin, it is an honor to welcome all of her guests to Deerfield tonight for this important event. Increasing access to opportunity and equity is a cornerstone of the Biden administration, and we're so proud to play a small part in that here.
This is a government theft ring. We spent $2 million for trans surgeries in Guatemala. I'm going to go out on a limb. One Guatemalan dude got breast implants. And we probably kicked back the rest of the cash to a crooked Guatemalan politician and the corrupt liberal CEO of the group they laundered the money through. Because all this money we're spending, we could have turned the whole world trans. We could have made every man a woman and every woman a man with this kind of money. Do you really think it costs $20 million to produce an episode of Sesame Street? You could hire Tom Cruise to play Oscar the Grouch for that money. Check this. Biden paid nearly $5 billion to unnamed foreign sources. Whoever's getting our money is so shady, our government can't even put it in writing. They just call it aid. I bet a lot of this money is to bribe foreign officials to win bids for American companies. Or to bribe foreign politicians just to have in our pockets. Or just to subsidize far-left foundations. Most of the people getting money from these grants aren't in the country. They pump it into overseas organizations, and then we never see them. Any liberal with an international women's studies degree can launch a 501c3, apply for a government grant, and spin it off into a left-wing piggy bank. USAID paid $235 million to the National Democratic Institute. Okay, well, that sounds benign. No, millions of that money went to executive compensation, meaning salaries for all the liberals with no skills. I bet most of that money didn't go to supporting democracy. It went to supporting liberal lifestyles. Democrats have been sucking off the teat of government for decades, and Trump caught them. As one Trump insider says, you bring USAID to heel and you end the Democrat gravy train. USAID is just the beginning. You start peeling back at the layers of every agency, and all you find out is pork that winds up in the wrong people's pockets.
Yeah. Yeah, he's exactly right, because he's saying what our show said 4 days ago. But, hey, that doesn't make him any – just because he's late doesn't mean he's wrong. He's exactly right. He's exactly right about USAID just being the tip of the iceberg here. Which is why the Democrats are panicking so much and holding rallies outside of USAID and telling all of their followers that the Treasury is being looted by Elon Musk. They're absolutely terrified, and they should be. The entire construction of their world establishment is being disintegrated. And do you realize how powerful that is? Like, just, I don't know. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. They have this entire civilization, like, orchestrated and designed to serve the most subservient people, right? If you want to succeed in America, if you're my age growing up, you know the way to succeed was just do what your masters told you. Just obey, just bow your head, just check the boxes and do what you're told, and you'll succeed. They have the whole society built to benefit those who are most capable of following orders and doing what they're told. And yet, despite having total institutional control across the board, they've been defeated by a bunch of people who just don't feel like doing what they're told, who just don't feel like playing the little game that they've set up. And it just shows you the power of this rebellion that we've helped to spearhead. It really is amazing. And it continues. Trump takes the gloves off, orders GSA to cancel every single media contract. Trump on Thursday ordered the General Services Administration to cancel every single media contract funded by the agency. Contracts for Politico, BBC, Bloomberg, and Politico Pro were canceled. Politico Pro cost $10,000 a year. Axios reported that the White House directed the GSA to terminate every single media contract, saying, please do two things. One, pull all contracts. Two, pull all media contracts for GSA. Cancel every single media contract today for GSA only. President Trump's targeting the federal government's media contracts after Elon Musk and his allies discovered millions of dollars in agency subscriptions to Politico Pro, a policy tracking service widely used in Washington. The fake news media took a pretty big hit this week when the USAID, the Democrats' money laundering slush fund scheme, was discovered. The thing is, they have nothing. What we're seeing now is the attempted pushback to what's happening. It's taken them a second, but they've gotten their feet under them. And despite being blindsided by this attack and not realizing that their gravy train golden goose was, you know, had its head on the chopping block, they are pushing back now, and they're doing it in two ways. One, they're trying to just throw barriers politically in the way, talking about launching an impeachment against Trump based on nothing. I mean, they have no reason, they have nothing, no law that he's broken, but they just want to gum up the works. They just want to provide a distraction. Just he's hyper-focused on dismantling them right now. They want him focused a little less on that, a little more on defending himself. So they're attacking offensively in that way. And we'll go to a very funny video about that in just a second, because the impeachment is, well, it's first of all dead on arrival, but also, you know, there are things you're supposed to, prerequisites you're supposed to accomplish before launching an impeachment. Like, the president has to actually commit a crime. You can't just, what's the term they use? He's like, general mischief. We want to impeach him for dastardly acts. That's the term he used. Dastardly acts. Okay, what? No, that's not how this works, dummy. So they're trying to impeach. And of course, the other tactic they're going with is, well, we can't defeat them institutionally. We can't stop them legally. So let's just dox and identify the members of the team on the ground actually doing this for Elon Musk. And let's try to use public pressure to destroy them. So that's what they're doing. And they've just got their first scalp with this young DOJ guy who goes by the name, by the way, he goes by the name Big Balls. Let's go to clip number five here. CNN seething about this Doge staffer. Let's watch.
Yes, so this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online. So that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk's behest inside Doge. And we looked into his background. And so we found, you know, several notable things, Aaron, one of which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC.
Oh, my gosh.
Which he established in 2021. He would have been around 16 years old.
Oh,
now,
my
this
word.
LLC controls dozens of web domains.
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh. The prudes at CNN are just shocked. Tesla.Sexy? What an unfortunate name. How dare they? Meanwhile, show them a trans dude taking his shirt off on the White House lawn, and they're like, oh, it's beautiful. It's equality.
Meanwhile, Don Lemon's engaged in sodomy and sexual assault allegations, and CNN has producers that, you know, are pedophiles who get stung trying to have sex with little girls.
Are you suggesting they're hypocrites? Are you suggesting they aren't genuinely outraged and infuriated at Tesla.Sexy LLC?
I mean, I don't take the Lord's name in vain often, but Christ.
Yeah, right. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. They're literally show you, like, right before that segment, I'm sure they were doing some sort of, you know, drag queen fashion show for children. They've got, you know, 11-year-old boys twerking in dresses, and they're just like, it's so cute. And it's like, a 16-year-old named his LLC Tesla.Sexy, and they're just like, what? Fire him immediately. Put him in a camp. Re-educate him now. They're full of crap. They're just chock full of crap, up to the ears in it. But this is their strategy. This is what they've got. They've looked at their options. They've decided the only options we have is faux outrage at what a 16-year-old did 10 years ago. naming his LLC Tesla.sexy. Tell you what, when my son is 16, if he's starting companies, managing URLs, filing for LLCs, I don't care what he names it. Means he's a go-getter, means he's an entrepreneur, means he's something that you want on your team. Also hilarious, the people are like, these young kids, these stupid children, they're only 25 years old. Meanwhile, and actually I saw this, it was somebody saying that exact thing, saying, since when are we going to listen to 25-year-olds? First of all, you absolute morons want to lower the voting age to like 13 because you think young people are easier to manipulate and you like getting dumb people to vote for you because that's the only people who will. So you want to discredit the wisdom and knowledge of accumulated decades that the elderly people in our country wield, and you'd rather get a bunch of impressionable 14-year-olds casting votes, counting as equally to the 80-year-olds. So shut up, first of all. But I saw somebody say this, and then somebody else was like, aren't you the one who said what's her name should win a Nobel Prize? It's Gretchen? Greta Thunberg. These people think Greta Thunberg is like a Gandhi-like figure that should win the Nobel Prize because she was 16 when she started repeating climate change talking points, and that made her an expert in the field and unquestionable. But a 25-year-old? But a 25-year-old, that's too young. We all have to eat bugs because this 16-year-old Down syndrome character cried into a microphone, but a 25-year-old computer genius? That's too young.
Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you, Greta. So these are their strategies. Go after the Doge kids. Go after the fine young men taking a hatchet to their gravy train corruption schemes. And try to impeach Donald Trump. Now, the impeachment, it's not really going anywhere. The congressman who suggested the impeachment, who made the speech calling out Trump's dastardly plans. High crimes, misdemeanors, and dastardliness. No, that's not how this works. He went on C-SPAN and got an earful from real Americans telling him what we all think about him. Let's go to clip number 9 here.
And I would add this. The president should be impeached. I said that on the floor of the House. He should be impeached, but I'm not saying that it would be necessarily for what happened in Gaza. There's a target-rich environment. There are many things that may be placed in this or these articles of impeachment, but it should be because he's unfit to be president. Unfit.
This guy looks like a racist carving.
And when these impeachment signs start going up around the country, when people see these signs, I assure you, the pressure is going to be on Congress to do something. Impeachment doesn't mean that he will be removed from office, but it will say to the country that this is what we stand for. It's been said that the protests don't have a plan. Well, the plan is here. This is the plan. Protests, complain now, impeach later.
Let's get to calls because the lines have lit up. Richard in Savannah, Georgia, Republican. You're up first, Richard.
Thank you. I watched you yesterday with the Democrat Party out protesting everything that Elon Musk is trying to do for the American people. The USAID is a 100% a money laundering scheme around the world, kickbacks back to the Democrat Party, whether it's through the Clinton Foundation in Haiti, $4.4 billion, and $84 million went to her daughter, Chelsea Clinton. All y'all have is impeachments and race and gender, et cetera, and you actually do nothing for the people of America today. I think the Democrats should sit back and let America see what it's like to reduce the people in government, the wasteful spending. And all y'all can do is just complain and be negative, and we're sick of it. And also,
Richard, let's have the congressman
And another thing, and while I'm on it, let me add, okay, Richard, we get it. No, we're all with you. Yeah, we absolutely feel you. It's very awkward. It's very awkward when you see this guy sitting there. He's like a mouth breather. He's like, his mouth isn't closed all the way. He's just like, what's happening? What's this guy talking about? And it's very uncomfortable. And it's hilarious that he's like, no, he's not going to get removed because of the impeachment. But the impeachment tells people, you know, that we're not happy, which is the point of the protest. They say the protest doesn't have the plan, but the plan is impeachment. But the impeachment's never actually going to work. So the impeachment is a protest. So the protest plan is to protest to impeach, but not to actually get the impeachment. No, great. No, you clearly have a game plan. No, you definitely have things figured out. You're on the ball. Can't believe we ever questioned you. It's time for the Democrats to go away forever. That's my take on this whole process. It's time for all the judges they appoint to be removed and all of their schemes just be laid to rest forever. I think that's next up in our agenda. Ridiculous idiots. Now, Trump yesterday appointed a new White House faith leader. It's a lady. It's a new White House faith leader who's a lady. Her name is Paula White. And I've never heard of this woman. She's got some interesting thoughts. I'd like to go to one of them now. Here's the new White House faith leader imparting some very, very important information. You know, this is the pastor. She's now the faith leader at the White House. Let's hear what she has to say. Let's go to clip number 10. Uh-oh. The White House faith leader speaking in tongues. Now, have you... I hadn't even made it to the end of that clip before I put it in. Nothing like speaking in gibberish for a straight minute and ending with the word power. Okay, we got a Sith. We got a Sith Lord on our hands, I think. Yeah, no, in case you were wondering, that was not her speaking a different language. That was not a language. That was gibberish. That was speaking in tongues. That was the evangelical trance that people put themselves in where they shout gibberish for some reason. Okay, so I don't have anything to add to that. I just thought you'd want to see that. Trump's new White House faith leader. Like, to me, I don't know. To me, that was worse than any old tweets you could ever find. You find me some old tweets of some dude saying Indian people smell bad. I'm like, okay, whatever. He was an edgy teenager. Who cares? When you find old clips of somebody who thinks that they're channeling the Holy Spirit by gibbering incoherently and then yelling the word power at the top of their voice.
At least there weren't snakes involved.
We don't know if there weren't snakes in that clip. I'll give you that. There weren't snakes in that particular instance. That's true. Yeah. If anybody wants to learn about speaking in tongues, I suggest you look up Father or Seraphim Rose and the Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future, because it's demonic is what it is. In my personal religious opinion, it's channeling demons, but that's just me. No offense to anybody out there that believes in it, but personally, I want a faith leader that's going to sit down with Trump and talk to him about, you know, the history of the church, the purpose of Christian life and its connection to the American government, not sitting there going, Christ. Good Lord. It's bad. It's not good. It's really not good. So I guess we're building the third temple now. I guess that's what's going to happen next. By the way, Elon Musk has pinned a poll to his X account Should we bring back the Doge staffer that made inappropriate statements in a now deleted pseudonym? Yes or no? And I'm saying that's why I call it private information, because it was anonymous when he wrote it. Big Balls deserves a second chance. Seriously, though, have a talk about the racist stuff. Not cool. Not cool, man. Hey, racism's not cool, dude.
Boy, Michael Bloomberg is so upset that it came out that his gun control group are the ones behind the Onion and the lawsuits and all of it, trying to shut down InfoWars. And remember back in November, they said they owned it, tried to kick us out of the building. The judge overrode it. It wasn't true. It was a hoax. But a lot of people still think they own InfoWars or InfoWarsStore.com. And so it's really hurt sales by over 70%. So if we don't get funds in at InfoWars Store, we will shut down. Now, even if they're successful and we're beating them right now, it'll take a month and a half or so for that to happen. So right now, in February, you are able to get all these products delivered to you very, very quickly. All the fan favorites, all the classics, X2, Vitamineral Fusion, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Brain Force Ultra, an incredible fast-acting nootropic with no letdown. VasoBeats, so good for your heart, your whole cardiovascular system. It's all available right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Not owned by Bloomberg or The Onion.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Turmeric is back in stock. Now, this concoction of turmeric is amazing and extremely bioavailable because it's loaded with ginger root and black pepper extract. Now, you might remember Brain Force Plus or Brain Force Ultra. We loaded that capsule with black pepper extract to ensure that it was as bioavailable as possible, and we used the same exact approach with Ultimate Turmeric. Now, if you're somebody who loves bodies, wants to fight for your joint health, and fight against inflammation, then Ultimate Turmeric gummies are an amazing solution for you. Not only are they delicious, but they benefit your health. Now, I'm somebody who struggles with inflammation. After I spent some time at Eagle Pass, I could hardly walk because my ankle was so swollen from walking around the border and catching what the New World Order was sponsoring in terms of the invasion of our country by these migrants. Countless millions of migrants. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience the benefits of Ultimate Turmeric right now. Not only because it's amazing for your health and inflammation and your joints, but because by doing so, you're keeping InfoWars on the air, fighting for this crew, and ensuring that Alex Jones will always be on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. We'll be joined very shortly by Jacob Engels. Talk about the USAID and the full spectrum control that they've been able to wield over the media landscape. Except for us, except, of course, for us. Maybe one day very soon, InfoWars will be in a position to accept billion-dollar checks from the Trump administration for doing what we do anyway. But as of yet, and up until now, it's been just us and you against the machine, the infinitely funded, insatiable beast of a machine. And yet we've had massive victory, and yet we've spearheaded this complete realignment of the world, not just America. And it really, I don't know, man. It's crazy to be here. It's crazy knowing that, what's happening right now, this isn't a flash in the pan thing. We got 4 years. Already Trump is doing a lot. We still have a lot to go. We can't forget about things like voter fraud and getting that done. You know, there's a meme that is very appropriate, and I experienced this in my own life as well. And it's the idea that, you know, it's a guy with a hole in his roof, and when it's sunny, he doesn't need to fix the hole in his roof because it's funny. It's sunny. It's fine. There's no rain coming through. And then when it's raining, well, you can't go up on the roof and fix the hole while it's raining. That's dangerous. So when it's raining and you want to fix the hole, you're not going to fix it. When it's sunny, you're like, what's the big problem? So you end up just never fixing the problem. I tend to do that with my car. Whenever I get in my car and it's like right now, the key, whatever, my key is out of battery. If you want a futuristic statement for you, my key is out of battery. Doesn't even make sense really, but that's the case. And every time I get in my car, it reminds me, I'm like, crap, yes, I got to do that. But I'm driving. I can't fix it now. I've got somewhere to go. And then as soon as I get out of my car, I completely forget about it and I never fix it. So it's like when you lose the election, you're like, oh, my God, it's so rigged. We got to do something about this election. It's rigged. We got to do something. But you just lost the election. You're out of power. You can't do anything. Then you win the election. You're in power. And you're like, well, so maybe the election, you know, sure, the election's kind of rigged, but we won. So, you know, let's just focus on getting things done. And you never actually solve the problem because whenever you're in a position, there it is right there. Haggis has a hole in his roof. He never fixed it because on rainy days it's too wet to work. On sunny days, it doesn't need fixing. That's sort of where we are with voter fraud right now. Well, when we're not in power, we can't fix voter fraud. And when we are in power, we don't want to fix voter fraud because how bad can it really be? We won the election. So we can't fall into that trap. Even though we won, now is the time to try to fix voter fraud. And there are some things going in that direction. In fact, I believe the woman who is in charge of, you know, the voting federal agency refuses to leave. She's been fired and she has refused to leave her position and is just not going anywhere. It's like staying in her office. So that's a little weird. So things are moving in that direction, but we still have a lot to do. And it's just crazy to think that after, you know, decades of this, if you've been in the info war, if you've been actually watching what's going on, it's been decades. It's been decades of relentless crushing of American prosperity and freedoms and curtailment of our rights. And it's been frustrating to see it go on for so long. And then 2016 hits and it just like supercharges the oppression, supercharges the aggression with which the globalists attempt to implement their plans. And it seems like it was inevitable. It seems like it was going to go on forever. And it's crazy to understand that not only have we completely realigned American politics, but like if we keep our foot on the gas and actually solve these problems, we have altered world history forever. What's going on right now has shifted the axis of the earth, and history itself has altered because of the information that we've talked about, the information that we've spread, the activism that we have all been involved in. When I say we, I mean us, you included, if you're hearing my voice, the audience, the info warriors, anybody dedicated to this movement or supporting this movement in any way. We have changed the course of history in a way that is mind-boggling to me personally. So I do appreciate your support more than I could ever possibly say. And I don't even know if we can, as humans, like even fully comprehend the effect that we've had on the world itself. And maybe nobody will understand until 1,000 years from now. They're looking back and wondering how they got to Mars. So please support us by going to InfoWarsStore.com and TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison so they know who sent you. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go get some merch today. Keep us on the air in the fight and be a part of this world-changing operation. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Jacob Engels. He's the publisher of the Central Florida Post and is with us today to discuss his report published in the Gateway Pundit. We covered it yesterday. USAID funded Stanford University and its Internet Observatory Project, the same censorship group that targeted the Gateway Pundit and Parler. We discussed this article yesterday at length. We have the author on today. You can follow him on X at Jacob Engels. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Great to be back, Harrison.
My pleasure to have you. And we did spend quite a while on this article yesterday because, you know, obviously what it shows is the sort of 1-2 punch that USAID was able to wield against right-wing dissident outlets. Not only were they funding our competition, they're funding the left-wing media, but they were actually helping to censor the right-wing media. And yet we've succeeded in despite of this. But tell us what you discovered looking into how USAID was using its funds.
Absolutely. So they use the Stanford Internet Observatory Project. They received funding through the National Science Foundation, which is funded and in partnership with USAID, to conduct these studies, in particular this report that I uncovered on Parler, the social media digital media platform, to determine all of the disinformation that was going around, as they said, or misinformation. And they targeted very prominent personalities, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, Laura Loomer, and others. A lot of other publications were mentioned. And it's very important what you said, the 1-2 punch. So they were able to put this report out, do all of this investigation, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And then the other angle of it is we see organizations, media organizations like Politico, the Associated Press, and Reuters. And lo and behold, who are the people that are writing slam pieces on Parler and slam pieces on Gateway Pundit, slam pieces on these commentators and these online citizen journalists? The same organizations.
Yep.
So our tax dollars were being used not only to create this phony study that created the air of misinformation, disinformation, and how dangerous dissident voices were, but then these organizations would walk it over to media publications who would then write about it. So it is all this self-contained scam, this self-contained criminal racketeering organization, as Alex mentioned yesterday on the program, all funded by our tax dollars to silence us, the taxpayer.
Yep. And this is how they do it, right? You've got somebody in the government who wants to do something, but they don't quite have the public will to get it done. So what do? They leak information to a friendly media outlet who publishes an article, and then the politician can point to that article and go, see, there's public outrage about this, so now you have to let me censor the internet or have the disinformation governance board or whatever it is. They sort of seed the ground, and then they reap whatever grows. It's a very sophisticated operation they're running. And, of course, Parler, the irony of it is, they went after Parler after January 6th really hard, saying this was all organized on Parler, while also simultaneously acknowledging, well, it was also planned on Facebook and Twitter and all these other places to an even greater degree. But we're going after Parler specifically because it was January 6th. So, I mean, they used January 6th to go after Parler despite acknowledging that it was Facebook and Twitter and other places where a lot of the planning went on. Not that there was a riot or a insurrection planned, but just the protest itself was planned on all these social media platforms. But they use it as an excuse to specifically go after Parler. I mean, totally, it's totally arbitrary, essentially. They just wanted Parler to go away, and they found the excuse they needed to attack it with.
Absolutely. And they follow the same program, the same template across the board. They did it to InfoWars. They did it to Tucker Carlson. They've done it to so many people. And I think an important difference here, Harrison, is if you are an organization, a media organization, or a nonprofit, and you uncover malfeasance, you uncover corruption on your own dime, and then you walk it over to a private organization or to a governmental organization and say, hey, here's what we found. We need to clean house. We need to get things back on track. That's completely appropriate. That's okay. That's not taxpayer funded. So that's a real important difference I want people to understand here. And with Parler, so many people left that app because of the censorship and everything that followed January 6th. And I think that was really the most important goal out of this, was to silence alternative media platforms and alternative outlets where people could speak their mind. And I think it's really interesting that Parler is now kind of coming back in the form of a platform that is being operated completely on the blockchain, completely self-contained, protected, not being stifled by Amazon Web Services or able to be silenced by reports like this. So in a sense, I think the good that came out of this is helping to create that parallel economy for freedom warriors, for people who enjoy freedom of speech, and for people who respect the First Amendment in our Constitution.
Well, absolutely. And not only that, but it almost seems like it came back to bite them in the butt, because maybe if they just let us have our own Twitter, then Musk wouldn't have bought Twitter and turned it into X, right? It's like they kicked us off Twitter. So a lot of us said, you know what? Fine. You don't want us there. We're going to go make our own thing. It'll be even better. It'll be called Parler. It'll be called Gab. But, you know, we'll go off to one of these other. Then they launched this attack against the alternative. And we're like, OK, well, if you're not going to let us have anything, I guess Elon Musk is going to buy X and we'll just own that from now on. So it's really back, you know. It's backfired on them in a bunch of different ways, but it's because they're tyrants and they haven't fully crushed the American, you know, rebellious spirit to the degree that would be necessary for these plans of theirs to work. And it goes, and your article goes into great detail about the corporate government combine that's in operation right now, where Apple and Google are working simultaneously to kick Parler out of the App Store at the behest of the government. You've got all of these different organizations working together in the corporate world as well as the governmental world. And that really, to me, is the big threat here. And of course, it goes perfectly in line with the Great Reset and everything that happened with Build Back Better during COVID-19 and immediately following, where it was this corporate government partnership of them working very well together. And we even have, you know, Chris Wray of the FBI at the World Economic Forum bragging about this and going, yeah, we're really it's hand in glove with the government, the FBI, and the social media outlets. So, I mean, talk a little bit about the way corporations are brought to heel and then used to, you know, and weaponized against dissident factions here in the States.
Well, absolutely. If you look into my article, and I urge everyone to read it, there are several kind of ancillary or other organizations that a lot of the individuals involved with the Stanford Internet Observatory Project, whether it be Renee DeSista, who was leading it, and some of her other staffers, they were involved with other groups that Facebook and other big social media platforms were literally using as fact-checking tools for their moderators and content, or in their content moderators. So it's really just this circular cycle, this vicious cycle that I don't think they ever thought, Harrison, that the shoe would be on the other foot. Right. And what you mentioned about Elon Musk is very important. They created the demand and he fulfilled the need. And he might not have had to do that if they had just not abused our tax dollars and acted like absolute tyrants.
Yeah. And again, it's like, you know, we've all sort of had a feeling, we've all sort of known in an abstract sense that this was going on. But now that we're actually seeing under the hood, as it were, right, we're just seeing the actual functions, like who's doing what, where the money's exactly going, what organizations are taking it and what they're doing with it. It's, again, we already knew it kind of stunk. We already knew it wasn't something that should be going on. But now that we're actually seeing the details of it, it's like kind of horrifying. And I think people are truly starting to understand just how much money is going into this and where it goes and what it funds. And they're absolutely infuriated and outraged by it. When it comes to the Stanford Internet Observatory in particular, it's a very scientific sounding name. It's got Stanford in there, you know, very well respected, you know, institution here in the States. What did the Stanford Internet Observatory actually do? What was it receiving money for and how did it use those funds?
Yes. So it's very important to realize that the National Science Foundation was one of the groups, along with USAID, that gave funding to the Stanford Internet Observatory Project and the University of Wisconsin, which ran a similar organization, and their main goal was to address misinformation and disinformation as it related to the 2020 elections, to vaccines, to everything surrounding both of those issues. So that was their charge. That was their goal. And I'd say they did a pretty darn good job in fulfilling what they were supposed to do with that funding. And at the end of the day, we just have to remember, this is our tax dollars being used against us, the American taxpayer. It's outrageous.
100%. And it's interesting. The crew just brought up the Wikipedia page for Stanford Internet Observatory. And even just reading the one little sentence of history, Alex Samos founded the Stanford Internet Observatory in 2019 after leaving Facebook the year before. Over frustrations, he was not allowed to publish the full account of Russia's influence operations on the platform in the 2016 presidential election. So it's not like this is even like tangentially related or it's one of the things. Like, this observatory, so-called, was specifically founded from the outset to stop the spread of so-called misinformation. In other words, to hamper the ability of Republicans to be elected by blaming their wins on Russia and trying to create that entire scandal. So, I mean, this is just I struggle with how to, like, because people are credulous, right? They're gullible. And when somebody says, well, we're just an internet observatory, we are against misinformation, and people go, well, misinformation's bad. That sounds like a good thing to be. And it's like, how do we get across to people? Like, these people are just criminals. They're just lying about their intentions. They're censors. They're tyrants. Like, how do we get that through to people? I know all this information coming out is, you know, helping in that, but I'm just thinking for the average person, how do we get through to them? Like, you can't trust these people. Everything they do is designed from the outset to give them a political edge. They're total hypocrites. I mean, how do we get that through to people? Any ideas?
Unfortunately, I'm drawing a blank here, Harrison, because right? so many Americans and just people in general, until it happens to you, and right. I'll be the first to admit, when a lot of this deplatforming and censorship was occurring, even after I lost my Twitter way back in 2019, thankfully I'm back on, you know, I'd hear these stories, and I, being educated about this stuff, would say, you know, that can't be. That can't be right. True. But then I got debanked, and then I lost PayPal, and then I lost all these other things. And I'm like, wow, this is true. Yeah. And I think it just needs to have that personal effect on individuals, because so many are so plugged into the Hollywood narrative, to the mainstream media narrative, that they unfortunately don't have the bandwidth to understand or to care about it. They're more concerned about what Taylor Swift is dancing around about at the Grammys than their own personal freedoms.
Yeah, it really is sad. And again, you see the, you know, if they were smart, if the Internet Observatory was smart, I think, Jacob, they would go after some of the left too, just to give the appearance of nonpartisanship, right? Because there are people on the left that spread misinformation, obviously. They could even go after, they could go, look, climate change is real, but, you know, these people say this, and that's not proven. Like, if they were smart, if they really, you know, didn't think they could get away with everything, they'd probably throw some left-wing names in the people that they're censoring. But as your article lists, it was Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Dinesh D'Souza, Don Bongino, Laura Loomer, Ted Cruz, Mark Levin. I mean, when you read these names, like, okay, this was clearly just a leftist combine going after right wingers. I mean, you can't claim that this is about, you know, misinformation when it's the Babylon Bee, PragerU, Gateway Pundit, Daily Caller, One American News Network, Mike Lindell, and Alex Jones. I mean, clearly this was nothing but a left wing hatchet organization justifying censorship against the right. Right. I mean, it seems clear when you see the list of names like that.
100% it does. And again, Harrison, they never thought the shoe was going to be on the other foot. So they never thought they'd have a need to cover this up. They've been running this scam at USAID for so many years, not getting caught, not being held accountable. Why would they want to have any air of transparency or, attacking the other side or showing some sort of fairness, even if it's just on paper, even if it's just to continue to get the funding, because there were no mechanisms in place for them to be fair or to show fairness. They had no reason to. They've been running hog wild for so long that there was just absolutely no need. And thank you, Jesus, for Elon Musk and Doge for exposing these kind of things. And I think it's just going to get worse.
Seriously. And on that, you know what it reminds me of is like how brazen they were with Russiagate. Early on when they're sending text messages going, we have an insurance policy, sweetheart. Don't even worry about it. Because they thought Hillary Clinton was going to win and they were just going to be able to cover it up. So the reason they all got exposed because they were so blatant about it. I think, and you're exactly right, that that's the same case with the left. But speaking of Doge and speaking of, Elon Musk, Big Balls. Well, what's your take on old Big Balls there, Jacob? Because this young guy, 25-year-old head of a particular part of Doge, has been fired. He's been kicked off. He's been forced to resign over racist remarks. And I don't even care what the guy said. I thought we were over this, Jacob. What is your take on this? Did you expect this to happen again, where the left is able to pull up old tweets from when a dude was a teenager and get him fired over it? Have you looked into this story, and what's your take on it?
Well, my take at first glance, Harrison, is they're like Hunter Biden. They're crack addicts. They can't kick the habit. So it's never going to stop. It's That's never going to go away. Our responsibility, though, as Americans and people viewing and consuming content like InfoWars and Gateway Pundit, is to continue to evangelize online, share, do whatever you can, text people, email people, try and open everyone's eyes up. So when these reports come out, and when these journalists start sniffing around, nobody takes them seriously. I mean, we just have to keep beating and beating and beating that drum. And eventually, I think we're going to have some success. I mean, we've had tremendous success since Trump has taken office, and I hope it continues. But we can't let our foot off the gas, because the moment we do, these people just sneak out from under the bed and out of crevasses and dark, scary places and rear their ugly heads.
The swamp creatures emerge from the mire. Yeah, you're exactly right. What do you think comes next? Because, obviously this stuff is getting wrapped up. But we know they don't give up. We know they don't go, you won, darn it. We'll go to the back of the bus now. Like they never do that. They always double down. They always just try to come up with a different phrase to use so it doesn't technically violate whatever law has been in place. They're going to keep trying to do this. What do you think we need to be aware of? How do you think they're going to come at us next? Because obviously they can't exist in a world without censorship. They have to be censoring us. They have to be, funding their own media outlets. What do you think they're doing strategy wise to deal with Doge dismantling their patronage networks?
They're just going to run directly to the courts like they always do, and they're going to run to the D.C. district courts or go up to the Southern District up in New York. They're going to just keep doing lawfare, and that's what they've done, particularly with the data that they claim Elon Musk is abusing and Doge is abusing. They're getting court orders from liberal, fanatical left-wing judges, and I hope that once those go through appeal and go to a higher court, that everything gets settled. But that's kind of the last grasp at power, is to go through these lawfare campaigns and these federal judges and bureaucracies that are chock full of people who hate freedom and people who can't out and out be fired right now or removed. These federal judges have lifetime appointments.
Yep.
They'd have to basically shoot somebody in the middle of the street to be removed. So that's their last stand. And we just have to keep fighting. And conservatives have to realize, and freedom fighters have to realize, that we as private organizations and citizen groups should be filing our own appeals and our own lawsuits.
100%. We need to be on the offense in every possible way, and we need to be supporting these good voices. Jacob Engels on Twitter. Thanks for coming on.
Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars is back on the air. The judge is having emergency hearings. Looks like their fraudulent sale won't go through. But regardless, I'm suing the daylights out of the Democratic Party and the big national gun control group that's actually behind The Onion and has now admitted it in court. So, we also have backup studios, the Alex Jones Network. Whatever they do, we're staying on air to make sure Trump gets into office. office and to back him and his agenda to stop World War III, secure the borders, and more. But we can't do it without your support. So there are all these new, amazing, incredible designs up on the AlexJonesStore.com that has nothing to do with InfoWars. Not owned by me, so they can never get that. That's how we stay on the air, even if they're successful in shutting us down. If you go to the AlexJonesStore.com and you get great supplements, t-shirts, limited edition collectible fundraiser posters, and more, you will keep me on the air regardless of the Alex Jones Network. Please go to the site now, thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on air. They're amazing products. Thank you so much for taking action. You are the resistance. For listeners and viewers that have gone to thealexjonesstore.com and gotten Ultimate Sea Moss, which is the ultimate superfood, chock full of organic iodine and all these key vitamins and minerals, and the way God has the Irish sea moss grow, the way it all fuses together, just has incredible effects. It's right up there with hemp for just being a over-the-top superfood. Now, I've been on it for now 4 or 5 months, and the clarity, the focus, my skin, my energy, the weight loss is insane. And so, Ultimate Sea Moss is available at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you love that product, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to want two of the new gummy products that are in Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Iron and Vitamin C. Both of these powerful gummy products are available right now with a big bottle jammed right to the top with these babies. Both of these amazing formulas are now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
A number of texts. All of the texts that are presented to us, as far as I know, came from your government phone, correct?
I believe that to be the case, yes.
So you've made no text available from your private phone, is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you ever text on your private phone?
I did.
Did you ever text Lisa Page on your private phone?
I did.
March 4th, 2016.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. OMG, he's an idiot.
July 19th, 2016.
Hi, how is Trump other than a douche? Melania?
July 21st, 2016.
Trump is a disaster. I have no idea how destabilizing his presidency would be.
And I'll preface it by saying this for context. Ms. Page said, not ever going to become president, right? Right?
No, he's not. We'll stop it.
Repeat that again.
No, he's not. We'll stop it.
August 15th, 2016.
I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40.
Opposing views of how Americans comprehend the blatant bias conducted by former FBI investigator Peter Strzok was met with total chaos.
Mr. Strzok, the way you do, saying the things you did, you'd been better off coming in here and say, look, that was my bias. And you kind of get around to that a little bit when you say, hey, everybody's got political views. Those are called biases. And we all have them. And you have come in here and said, I had no bias. And you do it with a straight face. And I watched you in the private testimony you gave. And I told some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying. And he could probably pass a polygraph.
FBI Director Christopher Wray assumed the office in 2017. Since then, he has continuously failed and embarrassed the American people.
And I'm especially sorry that there were people at the FBI who had their own chance to stop this monster back in 2015 and failed. And that is inexcusable. It never should have happened, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure it never happens again.
Wray's predecessors include Andrew McCabe, who lied under oath.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you about give this committee is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Say up your gun.
I do.
James Comey, who protected the Clinton crime family.
The organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led,
that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader.
And Robert Mueller, who fueled an impeachment scam of epic proportions.
In one of these meetings, Mr. Papadopoulos is talking to a foreign diplomat, and he tells the diplomat, Russians have dirt on Clinton. That diplomat then contacts the FBI, and the FBI opens an investigation based on that fact. You point this out on page one of the report.
While local agents track down serial killers, the top brass of the FBI wage a war on patriotism.
I tell you what, the American people are not stupid. We can see it with our own eyes, the difference in the treatment from our federal government because of someone's political beliefs. And that's regardless. It's regardless of how the news media tries to spin it or what they tell you.
The political leadership in this country, it's a dirty secret, okay? When you are upset about a political problem and you're angry, they actually want you to do what happened on January 6th. They want violence from us. They want us to cross the line. They want us to destroy property. They want us angry. Because when you break the law, they can deal with you very easily.
You would agree, would you not, that both investigations were supposed to be fair and unbiased?
Yes, and that they were.
Yet you were both rooting for Hillary Clinton to win, and you both detested Donald Trump, did you not?
I think that's fair to say.
Okay. And in fact, as we've learned, you apparently found Donald Trump supporters detestable too, like those around Loudoun, Virginia, as we've already heard, whom you called ignorant blanks. I'm not going to say that here. And that you had visited a Southern Virginia Walmart and could smell the Trump support. Now, I have to say, when I read those communications and when I hear them here, those between the two of you specifically.
The final battle is coming up towards the end of next month. Federal court's going to decide whether we get sold to the Bloomberg Group or they let patriots buy InfoWars and we continue on. But regardless, the final run, potentially, of X2 that is so incredible, the purest, best atomic iodine out there, has just come in at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. This could be your last chance to get X2, but regardless, fans love it. It's back in, so you can get it. And for those that haven't tried it, get your X2 now, right now, at InfoWarsStore.com. Every order that comes in will be shipped out regardless. We're not getting shut down for at least a month, so this is your last chance to get X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is one of the most amazing products, if not the most amazing, we've ever had at InfoWars. It's been a fan favorite for 12 years. So stock up now on what could be your last chance to get the legendary X2 at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
I uncovered the dark money network trying to stop RFK Jr. Using open source data, I graphed 461 organizations tied to Arabella advisors responsible for funding everything from defund the police to abortion rights to pro-Palestinian protests. And one was tied to a terrorist organization, with mostly invisible money coming from some of the wealthiest people in the world. You didn't think these movements were actually grassroots, did you? With money coming in from the largest philanthropic organizations in the world, you could finally see the massive funding mechanisms that drive many left-leaning initiatives and the chain of dark political finance. This is how it works. Arabella moves large chunks of money through several different funds that in turn move it through a chain of sometimes up to 5 organizations. This is how dark money works like a shell game in order to keep the public in the dark about how it moves money. This is only one collection of many that make up the constellation of dark money running through American politics. So the next time you latch onto a political belief or join a rally, remember that billionaires might be behind it, like the public opinion on RFK Jr.'s nomination, which I cover more in detail in another video. If you want access to this graph and more, click the link in my bio so you can get the big picture.
InvisibleInQ.com. Drew Arnold runs Visible Inquiry, an open source directory documenting the intersection of money, power, and influence. He's with us today to discuss the latest project that exposes the dark money chain to stop RFK's confirmation as Secretary of Health and Human Services. You can follow him on X at Invisible_INQ, InvisibleInQ.com. Drew, welcome to the show.
Harrison, thank you so much for having me. You know, people once said the Republican Party was the party of common sense, but I think there's a new ideology that's emerging, which is the party of data. And I don't think the world is ready for it.
You know, there's certainly something to that. We'll have to touch on that because I completely agree with you. And I think a lot of what people see as just baseless tradition or superstition, it's like, no, there's data actually to back all this up. And for our radio listeners, you got to go watch the video. The visualizations that you present are mind-blowing. They're kind of daunting. I mean, you see the level of organization and interconnectivity and the lines and the number of nodes. It's like, oh my God. I mean, it's a cloud of organizations, and you realize really what we're up against here. What is your strategy of breaking this down and mapping this out?
Well, I've got a few strategies. One is to get everything into a database. So what I'm doing is using AI as a way to scrape data from open source databases and journals, publications, investigations, all kinds of things you can imagine, pulling it all together in order to show a chain of operations that connects people, organizations, locations, and events. And so what I'm doing is pulling it all together and then organizing it for the public to see. Ultimately, what I'm creating right now is a public database for you as an investigative journalist or anybody who's interested in politics to explore. So, you know, it's got citations, it's got connections. This is how I think people should be researching. This is the reason I made this, is because this is the research tool that I wanted to have but didn't exist.
Wow. No, it's frankly, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful looking thing. And, no, you get the sense of like playing a space exploration video game. It's like literally there's a galaxy, a universe of information to explore, and a visual way to do it. It's really incredible. And this particular project in the article on invisibleinq.com is called The Dark Money Chain to Stop RFK, is centered around an organization called Arabella Advisors. And that should ring a bell for, you know, people who have looked into any of this stuff, because it's a name that crops up sort of all over the place. Tell us about Arabella Advisors, rather, and it's why you chose that as sort of the starting point or the central node.
Well, I've got a surprise for you today. Instead of talking about Arabella Networks, what I'd love to do is talk about USAID, okay, which I have just recently scraped together in the last couple of days.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I have been merging all kinds of data up until about 2020, because there's so much out there. USAID, what I've discovered, is one of the least researched organisms that exist out there in the blobosphere. And I know there's a lot of people doing really great work on covering it right now, but I think the public at large and even conspiracy theorists are finding out for the first time that USAID existed. My research is I'm finding that very few people over the last few decades have done any research at all over it. So right, the fact that we're now pulling all this data together is very important. And I wanted to demonstrate a little bit today about what my research showed.
Well,
and it does correspond to Arabella Networks, because Arabella has all of the same people who are working, all of the same organizations, the Ford, Gates, Soros, all of these guys are moving money through those same networks. So it's completely related.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And that's great, because, you know, as we talk about USAID, you know, the sense that I get, or what I come away with it, is you can follow the money, but it branches off so many times. I mean, you take USAID, they grant, you know, an organization something, and then that organization sends out grants to all these other organizations, and they buy ad time, which helps funds the you know, media outlets that are pushing this message. So it's what you need is this mapping, is this three-dimensional web mapping to even get a handle on this. So what have you discovered looking into USAID?
Great. I would love to show you instead of just tell you.
Please.
Fantastic. So I'm sharing the screen now. And this is going to work better if you have a screen to watch it, because it is so tedious. This is the research that I've done so far on USAID and the chain of networks that it has had since its inception, since 1968. I've scraped probably about a fifth of the data out there.
We're seeing now is a black screen. I'm not sure. There it is. Okay. Oh, all right. We just got the map. Okay. It looks like a whole universe. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So there may be a delay here running here. So I'm just going to go through this. not sure why it's delayed, but anyway. So as I scrape through this, you can see the Arabella network. Let me see real quick. Is it moving at all for you?
Yeah. It's zooming in right now. I mean, it just looks like a galaxy of lines for us right now. I can't make up much information about it, but I can tell there's a lot of data there.
Yeah, this is what it is. There's a lot of data here. USAID has been exploring a lot of different ventures. This is all of the gray and dark matters that they've been doing. Everything where they've been naughty, I've been scraping together. This is not things where they've been putting roads together in Afghanistan or anything like that. This is things that are depopulation programs, creating viruses, helping, and I'll go through that in a second. This is the chain of operations, and so I've mapped this out. It looks convoluted now, but I'm about to break it down for you. This is the constellation of their do bad schemes.
Wow.
All right. So let me break it into this. Can you see this new graph?
I'm seeing the network of the pink lines and the orange lines. I mean, again, it's funny because like this is the government. Like if you want to visualize the government, it's okay. Now I see this new graph. Oh my God, it's so complicated. I don't even know how to explain this. It looks like an exploded atom or something.
So these are all initiatives that USAID have had over the years. And what this one is, their population centers. So what they have is family population. This is effectively controlling populations in certain areas. And what this is USAID is in the middle. It goes out to different centers and different organizations through popular population programs like this and goes to different countries. And so you can see reducing poverty, pronatal programs, the United Nations, all of these things. This is everything that they have to do with depopulation in places like Pakistan, Peru, Nicaragua, India. And in total, you know, they've been responsible for wiping out 300,000 natives of Peru, some of the indigenous people. They've been responsible for sterilizing 3 million people in India. Just to name a few, it goes on to Afghanistan, Pakistan. I mean, you're talking about millions and millions of people, a lot of whom were forcefully or coerced into sterilization, including entire villages that were rounded up and forced to be sterilized, men and women. So you're talking entire generations of people who had their ability to give birth. And of course, this only happens in non-Western countries. And it started in Pakistan. So I'm going to take you through their depopulation program real quick.
Okay, just for our radio listeners and even for people that are watching on TV, I mean, this is so detailed and intricate. It's hard to... So you've got USAID at the middle. Well, now we have a new graph. But each one of these nodes, some of them are countries, some of them are organizations. What are the colors? What do the different colors signify?
Yeah, let me take you through this new graph here, and I'll explain how this whole thing breaks down.
Okay.
At the bottom here, we have a continent. So these are regional areas.
Okay.
In that, we break it down into places like the Philippines, Syria, Indonesia, Vietnam. And so these are all of their depopulation programs. Afghanistan, Laos, Asia in general, and India. So let's go into India real quick. This may take a second to catch up with me, so excuse the lag. This is all of India's depopulation programs. So all of these blue lines are pointing to the depopulation programs. Wow. And so you have things here like tubal ligations, compulsory tactics, sterilization campaigns, emergency measures.
Sterilization, salary reductions, yeah.
And this all comes from one single sterilization program.
Wow.
So you have all kinds of coercive tactics you have in here, villages being rounded up. In this is about the 3 million. So what you're looking at here is 3 million people, 3 million women being sterilized in India in one state, right? And there's more. And this is all connected to all of these other sterilization programs. Now let me go through and you can see how big. So this is USAID. All of their sterilization programs coming out.
God.
So you get a sense of the scale. I've created this as a research tool, okay? I want the public to be able to use it. It's on my website. If you click this, it's not just, you know, nodes on a graph. If you click this, and I'm going to right-click on information here, and you can see I have all of these, all of this stuff that comes from where I sourced it from, which were articles. This one was written by pop.org. If you click on this article, if you click on the link, it opens up the actual article that I came from. Okay.
Wow.
And in those you have citations. So, you know, at the bottom you have your end notes. So all of this is like heavily cited work. I'm using AI to put it all together. You have all kinds of, would you like to go through some more stuff?
Yeah. Well, and what I love about this is it's using AI for ourselves, right? A lot of people are just sort of blankly reject AI because they recognize what a big threat it can be. But like, it's just a technology. And if we use AI to do what you're doing, scraping articles, yep. I saw the article you just pulled up was all the way back in 1996. So you're going back decades, scraping articles, getting their information, having it automatically plotted on a graph that can then give you insight where you go, gee, what starts off at USAID, there sure are a lot of lines going to India. Let's see, you know, what that's all about. And you can actually glean real information and come to real conclusions just based off the visualization. And then you can dig deeper and do more research. I just love that you're using AI to actually disentangle and try to illustrate this network of corruption that's been weighing us down for so long. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, and if I can put it in perspective, you know, we have Doge who has been doing this for the government. This is the same kind of methodology, not quite as sophisticated because I don't have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever, millions of dollars behind me. But this is the best that I can do with the technology that's available right now. So this is a public research tool where you can see and showcase the investigative work that you can do, right? Because it's hard to explain over Thanksgiving dinner how all of this stuff is connected. And I'm sure a lot of us have tried to explain to people who just don't get it, right?
Right.
It's
funny. This is what I see in my brain. And then I go, okay, how do I explain this, right? How does the conspiracy work? And you close your eyes and you see this just incredibly complex network of interconnected lines. And you just go, okay, how do I put this to you? How do I explain this to you? So this is brilliant. It's like, I try to explain with words that are always, inadequate to the true scale of this.
And I'm so glad you pulled up the Always Sunny clip because that's how I describe it, which is imagine the Always Sunny clip, but AI is doing it, right? Trying
right.
to explain all these connections between things, right? All right, so I want to pull up another one for you here, if you care to look at it.
Yeah.
This one is USAID. I'll let you figure out what this one is. I'm not going to tell you what it is. USAID.
Oh yeah, I already know.
NIH.
I already know. Yeah, so you've got USAID.
Peter.
One of the nodes is USAID. One of them is EcoHealth Alliance. One of them is Peter Daszak. One of them is NIH. And another one is Wuhan Institute of Virology. So you're actually visualizing here. So each one of these lines, I suppose, would be just another form of connection that they have, whether that's funding or
right.
people exchanging. Wow. Okay.
Well, let's look at it, right? I'm going to connect USA. Look at how all these connections to EcoHealth Alliance, right? I'm going to click on one. EcoHealth Alliance received funding from USAID through EcoHealth Alliance. Well, that's AI talk right there. But USAID's PREDICT program, led by J.K. Mazet at UC Davis, provided $1.1 million to the WIV through EcoHealth Alliance. And we've got more. So these are all of the ways USAID, or all the ways they've been reported, the connections from USAID to EcoHealth Alliance to the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
EcoHealth Alliance, the connection to Peter Daszak, the connection to NIH. And what's interesting about all of this is that's just one program that they had, the Wuhan Institute program. Now, this is all of the programs.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. These are not all of the programs. These are all of the programs I've researched so far that they've been doing zoological virus research with. Okay. And these are all of the countries that have and some currently have some of the same virus research labs working with them.
Well, and look at that. And you know, I was going to ask you, but I sort of answered my own questions looking at this. I was going to say, you know, normally if you're putting together a map like this, obviously it would take a human being forever to make all these connections. AI just makes it that much quicker and really makes it possible to do this. But also if you're the one doing it, then it's your consciousness sort of designing, okay, I'm going to start with USAID and map it out this way. But when it's AI, I was going to ask, are there any connections that like appear that you didn't expect? And actually, as I was thinking that, I'm looking at the map. And I see that Haiti apparently is a node that's getting a ton of money from USAID to research this stuff. So that's got to be interesting. As you put in this information and it automatically scrapes it, you're actually watching sort of connections develop that you didn't know, that you didn't consciously say, I'm going to look into this. But then you see, huh, why are there so many? Why is this thread so thick? Why is the thread from EcoHealth Alliance or from USAID to Haiti so thick, or to Indonesia? Why are they all these third world countries that are receiving all of these funds? That's fascinating to me that this method that you've developed can actually sort of guide your conclusions and guide your thought process as you do this research.
Yeah. And, you know, the really cool thing is there are all kinds of surprises that pop up in here. I've found that the guy who wrote the Pentagon Papers, I can't remember his name right at this moment. Yeah, I'm sorry, Michael Ellsberg. He has a daughter. So Michael Ellsberg, who dropped the Pentagon Papers, he was the Edward Snowden of his time.
Right.
His daughter, apologist for USAID. She's writing articles that defend USAID, and I found that in this research. So there's all kinds of cool little things that pop up in the data. I'm not hand feeding this stuff. So I'm trying to catch up with as fast as AI can compress it.
Right.
And there's all kinds of, I mean, just being able to organize it shows a lot. So here's the last tidbit I'll show, because this one is what everybody's talking about right now, which is you have a man named George Soros over here, right?
I've heard of him.
And right. So, I mean, and all these open Soros foundations. So everything here in red are all of the open sources or open society foundations, all the George Soros related societies that have been working with USAID, USAID. These are the programs that they're, and excuse the lag, you'll have to catch up with me here. Down below is the programs that all of these organizations have been working in conjunction with USAID.
Wow.
And this is USAID. And then on the other side are all of the countries that have been affected or working in conjunction with the any of the Open Society Foundation, right? So,
wow. Okay.
Again, and if you wanted more information, you can just right click here. Barack Obama's U.S. ambassador to Macedonia, Bali. So this is about. I think this is 2014. This is about a revolution that happened in Macedonia that George Soros helped work with USAID.
Wow. And so this tool is available to people on your website.
Yeah, that's right. If you go to Invisible Inc., I will have access to this in a couple of days, but I have access to all of these other stories that I've done. So far, I've published one about the inner workings of Doge and the Arabella networks when they were trying to stop RFK Jr. So if you go there, you can subscribe, post to it. I would love – this is a brand new project, by the way. So if you follow me at InvisibleINQ at Twitter, Invisible_INQ, you will be among my first three or four followers. So I'd love for people to follow me. Anybody who follows me will get early access to this data before I publish it, and it's there for you to use. It's not there for me to create media necessarily. I want people to be able to find things with this, so that way we can beat mainstream media with research and review.
Wow. No, this looks like just an incredibly powerful tool. And yes, I encourage everybody, be one of the first 100. Let's get him up to at least 100 followers today. He's got 68. Oh, he just went up to 69. Or I'm sorry, he's got 15 Oh yeah, no, that's right. 69 followers. He just I was the 69th follower. What do you know about that?
Oh, you get a special prize for that.
Yeah, there you go. Invisible_INQ. Invisible_INQ is where you can go to follow this. And again, for our radio viewers, you got to go see this visualization. I cannot even describe it to you. It is, you've got a note of George Soros, a note of USAID, and just this mesh of interconnecting lines. And then the nodes where these two intersect, where you've got USAID funding George Soros projects. This really gives a visual to what we try to explain inadequately through words every single day. That's absolutely incredible. And, you know, even your Arabella article that you wrote, I mean, it lays out just a list of people: George Soros, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Lauren Powell, Jobs, Tom Steyer, Ford Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Tides Foundation, Silicon Valley Community Foundation. It's all intertwined. What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. Drew Arnold, thank you so much for sharing this with us, and
Harrison,
we look forward to using this a lot.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it, and I'm so excited to share this with you. By the way, if you message me directly, I'll give you early access to this graph and some more.
At invisible_INQ.
Boy, Michael Bloomberg is so upset that it came out that his gun control group are the ones behind the Onion and the lawsuits and all of it, trying to shut down InfoWars. And remember back in November, they said they owned it, tried to kick us out of the building. The judge overrode it. It wasn't true. It was a hoax. But a lot of people still think they own InfoWars or InfoWarsStore.com. And so it's really hurt sales by over 70%. So if we don't get funds in at InfoWars Store, we will shut down. Now, even if they're successful and we're beating them right now, it'll take a month and a half or so for that to happen. So right now, in February, you are able to get all these products delivered to you very, very quickly. All the fan favorites, all the classics, X2, Vitamineral Fusion, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Brain Force Ultra, an incredible fast-acting nootropic with no letdown. VasoBeats, so good for your heart, your whole cardiovascular system. It's all available right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Not owned by Bloomberg or The Onion.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now, because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so, as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the
vaccine mandates, which they have in store for us, please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at the alexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at the alexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this wild ride. Thank you, everybody, for responding. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this. At the beginning of our segment, Invisible Inquiry at Invisible underscore INQ on X had only a couple dozen followers. I was the 69th follower. I refreshed the page. He's got 800 followers. That's called the American Journal bump right there. 811. Look at it tick up. That's awesome. So thank you, everybody, for supporting our guests, of course, and, of course, supporting us as well. We could not do it without you. And we don't just say that. And, you know, so often you hear celebrities or whatever, anybody, just like, oh, we have the best fans. And it's like, yes, InfoWars has the best fans. I don't think you realize how good the InfoWars fans are, how dedicated, how involved, not passively, not just, you know, tuning in every once in a while, but activists who are listening to the show, even though they probably know a lot of what we're talking about, just getting aligned, you know, being on top of whatever the latest piece of news is, and then actually making moves to try to counter the attacks of the New World Order. It's just astonishing what you guys have been able to accomplish, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you and before you and having this victory with you. It really is incredible. And there are victories coming across the board, even in the corporate world. I mean, the effects that we're having are not just governmentally with, you know, getting Elon Musk and Donald Trump to go through and systematically root out the corruption, despite the screeching of the left. Folks, we're winning so hard. Our enemies are sterilizing themselves. Do you understand what's happening right now? We're winning to such a degree that our enemies are ending their genetic lines as a form of surrender. It's kind of scary, actually. Michigan Democrat state legislator sterilizes herself to avoid giving birth in Donald Trump's America. Trump derangement syndrome has caused a young Democrat legislator to ensure she's never able to reproduce. As Michigan Advance reported, 36-year-old Michigan State Rep. Lori Pahutsky announced on Wednesday during a protest on the lawn of the Michigan Capitol in Lansing, she underwent a surgery to sterilize herself. She claimed she did so because she was so scared President Trump might make contraception inaccessible. I mean, my goodness, folks. Part of me is sad. Part of me is like very heartbroken at this poor young woman so brainwashed. But then you remember that, like, it's not even true. What she's talking about isn't even true. Trump is not even, like, he's going to stop you getting abortion. You think he's going to stop you getting condoms? You think he's going to make the pill illegal? Like, contraception? What are they even talking about? I mean, I get they use abortion as a form of contraception, but it's supposed to be like the article of last resort. Like, that's not supposed to be your go-to thing. And even if it was, it's not something that's on Trump's agenda to eliminate. So these people, it's not even that it's like what we're doing is causing this woman to sterilize herself, because you can still get an abortion, lady. In most states, almost all of them, in fact, you can still get an abortion still until like 9 months. Like, that's still a problem that we have, and we're working on making it better. But like, she has so consumed the Kool-Aid of the left the fear-mongering that they have been pumping out about stuff that we're not even doing or interested in or is not even a threat. She's sterilizing herself over this. So, like, do you understand? Do you understand how broken these people are, truly? She's 36 years old, so didn't have that many baby-producing years left in her anyway, but sterilizing herself forever because she thinks that Trump is going to take away her contraception. Okay? Nobody's taking away your contraception. Really, your abortions aren't even at that big of a threat. But out of a statement, out of a political statement, she has become barren. Wonderful. Great. Little Brave New World-ish, if you ask me. Crazy. Just under 2 weeks ago, I underwent surgery to ensure that I would never have to navigate a pregnancy in Donald Trump's America. I would never have to navigate a pregnancy? Even the way these people talk about humanity, it's like, are you an alien? Are you a robot? Like, navigate a pregnancy? So what she means is that she doesn't want to have to have a baby that she doesn't want because Donald Trump's going to stop her from killing it, I guess, is what navigate a pregnancy means. Gateway pundit. I never want to navigate a pregnancy in Donald Trump's America, Pahutsky said to her fellow lunatics. I refuse to let my body be treated as a currency by an administration that only sees value in my ability to procreate. All right, I'm back to feeling sad. Like, if, you know, I've never actually, and I'm still not in the mindset of like women shouldn't be in politics, but it's like I feel bad for young women who, like, clearly this woman's brain not meant for politics. She is not capable of dealing with basic reality when it comes to the political world. I refuse to let my body be treated as a currency by an administration that only sees value in my ability to procreate. Like, what have they done to you? You poor woman. They've broken your brain. And I guess it's done now. It's not, you know, I guess you're sterile now. I guess you've made that decision. But good Lord, man, what they've done to these young women especially. They want to use your body as a currency. They think your only value is to procreate. She's like, then I'll sterilize myself. Meanwhile, we're over here just like, sorry, what? Sorry, what are you doing? Your body is a currency? What the hell are you talking about? We're just like playing with our children. Just like, what? What is she saying? Oh, God, man. It's just, it's so bad. It's so creepy and weird the way these people think about the world. And then project that on us. Okay. All right. Sterilize yourself, leftist. You showed us. Yeah, you got us, you guys. Openly bisexual Michigan State Rep. Lauren Pahutsky. Like, you might, she's like, she might as well be a lesbian. It would actually make the story even more appropriate if she was a lesbian. If she, like, so, because that's the level of misunderstanding we're at here. Where it's like, I bet lesbians are sterilizing themselves, being like, I am not going to navigate a pregnancy. I am not going to risk getting pregnant from my girlfriend. And it's like, yeah, that's about how disconnected. That's about how off the mark you are. The fact that so many conservative, this is what she says. The fact that so many conservative men take personal offense to a decision that I made with my husband about my health care and future just proves the point that we shouldn't assume that right is secure. The right to sterilize yourself? You think we're going to stop you from sterilizing yourself? Jesse Burkhart says, no, conservatives are not taking offense to your sterilization. No, I'm offended on your behalf for what's been done to you. He says, we're cheering because you are an effing moron who's thankfully decided to remove yourself and future generations from the gene pool. Thanks for making future elections easy for us, effing Dumbo. Yeah, dude, I don't know, man. And it's funny because when she said, like, when she does the sterilization thing, Like, think about the difference. If you can bring up that tweet again that she put out. What she said originally in her speech just under 2 weeks ago, I underwent surgery to ensure I never have to navigate a pregnancy in Donald Trump's America. You think we're offended by that? I'm concerned for you. I refuse to let my body be treated as a currency by an administration that sees value only in my ability to procreate. It's very strident, very powerful. Now let's go to the tweet again. The fact that so many conservative men take personal offense to a decision I made with my husband about my health care and future proves we just don't, that we shouldn't assume that right is secure. Okay. All right. Now, something happened where, you know, it goes from like, this is a political statement that I will not let my body be used as a currency. And then it's like, everybody's like, ew, that's kind of weird. She's like, well, this is just it was a personal decision about my health care. Okay. It's like, are you already regretting this, lady? You made a permanent decision. This isn't even just like a tattoo. No, you have ended your bloodline. You have severed a chain that has links going back to the beginning of history. I'm not offended. I'm very sad for you. So many of these men are personally offended. What does that even mean? I have to show is like I really genuinely want to know what makes people say these things. I have an intellectual curiosity, I guess you could say, that you hear people say things like this, and you just go, let's sit down and let's puzzle out what's going on in their mind, what they think is happening, how they got to this point, because it's crazy, folks. It really is something else. Personally offended. Men are personally offended that I sterilize myself. I'm offended on behalf of the human race. God's probably pretty offended. I'm not. I'm confused. I'm baffled. I'm concerned for you. I care about you. I don't want to see other women go down this road. You're a bad example. You're a symptom. That's sort of what it is. Is that America is deeply sick and you're the symptom. I'm not offended. Strange. Strange people out there, folks. But don't worry. They'll be gone. They'll be gone soon and nobody will replace them. No little baby girls looking just like her running around learning to speak in that cute way. No, you've ended that possibility forever. So well done. It really is sick. Yeah. Meanwhile, peer-reviewed study shows irrefutable evidence supporting immediate market withdrawal of vaccine COVID-19 vaccines. This is from VigilantNews.com. Over 81,000 physicians, scientists, and concerned citizens, 240 elected officials, 17 professional organizations, excess mortality, negative efficacy, and DNA contamination call for urgent action. The McCullough Foundation study, authored by epidemiologist Nicholas Holscher, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, and Dr. Peter McCullough, all friends of the show, titled Review of Calls for Market Removal of COVID-19 Vaccines Intensify, Risks Far Outweigh Theoretical Benefits. I mean, just think about like what I just read to you and the number of like how little sense this makes. If you had a vaccine on the market and you had somebody come to you and go, hey, I think we should take this vaccine off. Just imagine this. It's like, well, why? It's like, well, for one thing, it doesn't do what it says it does. It's not actually a vaccine. Like that alone would be enough. It's like, oh. What? So we're marketing something as a vaccine, but it doesn't actually stop you from getting the disease? Well, that's wrong. We should take it off the market. That alone would be enough. But it's like, not only does it not stop you from getting the virus, it does the opposite. It makes you more likely to get the virus. It makes the virus worse. It causes excess mortality, meaning it kills you. Negative efficacy, which means you're more likely to get it if you get the vaccine. Also, it contaminates your DNA. So not a vaccine kills you, destroys your DNA, genetically alters you, causes rapid cancer growth throughout your body, causes blood clots, causes myocarditis. Like, how many... It's as bad as you could ever imagine it is. Like, maybe just putting it, maybe putting it in the framework of something that's not a vaccine would make it easier to understand. If you had a soda that you were trying to sell, you were like, we should take this off the market. Why? Well, it doesn't taste very good. It's like, yeah, that's a good reason. Also, it gives you cancer, destroys your genetics, sterilizes you, causes you to get COVID. It's, every can has a dead rat skeleton inside. It explodes sometimes. Like, how many different ways could you have to be like, ah, yeah, maybe we shouldn't sell this on the corner at the corner store. Yeah, maybe. It's crazy. It's crazy. Every once in a while, you know, you get a recall for a product. The carrots from this particular department store have been recalled because one kid in Iowa got dysentery. And they recall, you know, $1 million worth of carrots or whatever. Then with the vaccine, it's like, you know, ever since we released this vaccine, there's been a global statistical spike in unexpected deaths. And forget just like E. coli was found in two states over, so now you can't buy tomatoes from this particular store. With the vaccine, it's like, no, the world is ending now because of it. Actually, like, the biggest problem with the world, the collapse of birth rates, meaning that statistically and as the trend continues, humanity is going to be wiped out. That's been accelerated massively by this program. It's global death on a scale beyond war. So you, maybe it should be removed from the market. I agree. I think that's a good idea. Here's the abstract. COVID-19 vaccination programs around the globe have failed to meet fundamental standards of safety and efficacy, leading to mounting evidence of significant harm. More than 81,000 physicians, scientists, researchers, and concerned citizens, 240 elected government officials, 17 professional public health and physician organizations, 2 state Republican parties, 17 Republican Party county committees, and 6 scientific studies from across the globe have called for the market withdrawal of COVID-19 vaccines. As of September 6, 2024, the CDC has documented 19,028 deaths in the United States reported to the VAERS system by healthcare professionals or pharmaceutical companies who believe the product is related to the death. And we know that that's maybe 1/20th of the real number. The total number of COVID-19 vaccine deaths reported to VAERS have far exceeded the recall limits of past vaccine withdrawals of up to 375,340%. Percent. 375,340%. Percent higher deaths than previous vaccine recalls. This is what I mean. We're not even arguing about, like, does this cause deaths? We're not arguing, like, is it effective? Is it not? What's the threshold? What's the danger versus the benefit? How do we balance that equation? We're talking about a instrument of mass murder being officially, to this day, officially mandated in some cases to give to children. Excess mortality, negative efficacy, widespread DNA contamination, and a lack of demonstrated reduction in transmission, hospitalization, or mortality have undermined the rationale for continued administration. I mean, I know they have to phrase it this way because it's like a scientific article. But again, it is cartoonish. It's cartoonish. Dude, like, excess mortality, negative efficacy, DNA contamination, no demonstrated benefit at all. It doesn't benefit the transmission, the hospitalization, or the mortality. So, yeah, maybe it should be removed. Maybe it shouldn't be. It probably shouldn't be suggested. It probably shouldn't even be offered, to be honest with you. I mean, this is the equivalent of like having to write a scientific article about a new type of soda that came out 2 years ago, where one of the main ingredients is cyanide and arsenic. It's like, do we really need to debate that? Like, it's just crazy that we're even having to have this conversation. It's a product that kills you. And it doesn't do what it says it's going to do. It also doesn't do what it says it's going to do. And it kills you. Yeah, especially if you have a kid. I get recall notices all the time. Where it's like, this baby chair flipped over once. And a baby broke its arm. So now it's being recalled. It's like that Family Guy flashback. Where it's like the new toy and it's just a machine that throws axes. The super fun ball and it's just a rusty hatchet. I don't know. I just try to come up with images that can express what it's like to know all of this stuff and still turn on TV like or be watching YouTube and hear like the CDC recommends that everybody receive their newest vaccine booster along with your flu shot. Come by CVS today to receive it, or you're in the pharmacy and you see people lined up against the wall with their masks on and their bellies hanging over their knees waiting to get the vaccine shot, and you're just like, this is still happening? What is going on? Usually when you receive a recall, it's like, really, that ball is dangerous? That's not a dangerous ball. This is like receiving a recall for a toy that you bought for your kid. That's just a flamethrower. It's just a flamethrower where the nozzle is pointed at the direction of the person who's shooting it. And they're like, hey, maybe we should recall this. Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, maybe we should. Boy, howdy. That's what I have to say about that. Meanwhile, we do actually have some good news here. First of all, Catholic Relief Services prepares for massive cuts to refugee program as USAID funding dries up because these non-governmental organizations turn out to be entirely funded by your tax dollars, and they put these religious names on top of them to make it seem like it's not just a program to deliberately undermine and destroy your nation from within. Tech dystopia: Google drops pledge not to use AI for weapons or mass surveillance systems. So they're changing their strategy a little bit. See, for a while, they were using their AI and machine learning capabilities to design death machines, drones, and that sort of thing. Then their employees decided they didn't sign up to work for the Angel of Death, and so they rebelled, and Google pulled back a little bit. Same thing happened with their Dragonfly system, censoring the internet for China. But now they're decided, actually, it's too good of an opportunity to miss. The market is just too good. So now they are actually weaponizing drones and UAVs with their AI. Good job, Google. Meanwhile, Senate confirms Russell Vought as Office of Management and Budget Director, I guess replacing Ms. Roach that we told you about yesterday. Senate voted along party lines on Thursday to confirm Russell T. Vought to lead the Office of Management and Budget, putting in place one of the most powerful architects of President Trump's agenda to upend the federal bureaucracy and slash spending that the administration thinks is wasteful. He was apparently one of his most contentious nominees, but he has been passed through, so that's very good to see. OPM is, again, one of the main offices being used to coordinate the dismantling of these influence networks. GM and Disney have scrubbed all of their DI references from annual reports, DEI references. GM, Pepsi, Disney, and others scrubbed some DEI references from investor reports. And look, that's good. You know, it's good to see that not only politically, but just culturally, people are moving away from this suicidal, anti-white, so-called diversity push. But I also think it has to do with them, you know, realizing that people are becoming wise to this and going, you're investing my retirement fund on the basis of how many black transgender atheists you have. That's not a smart investment strategy. You're losing my money. I think I'm going to sue. I think they're trying to scrub this stuff to avoid the obvious, you know, outcome, which is you're wasting everybody's money and you're doing so in a legal fashion and your company's going to be brought down if you continue it. So the world is changing, folks, in a thousand different ways.
The final battle is coming up towards the end of next month. Federal court's going to decide whether we get sold to the Bloomberg Group or they let patriots buy InfoWars and we continue on. But regardless, the final run, potentially, of X2 that is so incredible, the purest, best atomic iodine out there, has just come in at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. This could be your last chance to get X2, but regardless, fans love it. It's back in, so you can get it. And for those that haven't tried it, get your X2 now, right now, at InfoWarsStore.com. Every order that comes in will be shipped out regardless. We're not getting shut down for at least a month, so this is your last chance to get X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is one of the most amazing products, if not the most amazing, we've ever had at InfoWars. It's been a fan favorite for 12 years. So stock up now on what could be your last chance to get the legendary X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at the AlexJonesStore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.